face-off spots on a hockey rink.
Mm.
Mm. And there's 9. But, like, people don't think there's 9.
Yeah.
But there's 2 in the defenders, 2 in the neutral.
And when you have your center. Right, though, right?
Yeah, okay. It was correct. Like, I double-checked that one.
Yeah. You're like, no.
And I was like, yeah, holy shit, there's 9 fucking face. Like,
see, that shit.
This one guy was pissed.
Yeah.
He's like, 9. And I was like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, and he's like, but have you ever seen it from the neutral zone? And I was just
Who the fuck watches hockey in Florence?
Well, I was just like, you still can't deny that it's a fact.
They'll watch anything in Florence.
Yeah. I mean, I packed the house out in Florence. It's a sad town.
I know.
I have an interesting one, which was, there's a guy who comes in a lot, and I'm not going to say too much about this other than just the facts. There's a guy who comes in a lot. He's got a couple Big Lebowski shirts. I ask a question, and I put these things in order. The biggest one was the number of times the word fuck was used in Big Lebowski, which, just as a general off your head, what do you think?
Well, I think I've used this in some form before. So, yeah. I mean, it's between 250 and 350.
Right. So, he wrote 15. Like, he had it as the lowest, and he actually gave me a number of what he thought it was, and it was 15. But this guy wears Big Lebowski clothes all the time. And when I got his answer,
poser.
I blushed because I was like, oh shit, I must be so wrong. Fuck, where did I get my number from? Like, I must be wrong.
Well, when you say this guy wears Lebowski shit, you mean he has, like, funny, witty t-shirts?
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
He walks around in a bathrobe and jelly shoes.
He might as well. He does walk around in jelly shoes now that I think about it. Well, they're whatever.
Wow, so he's really playing into the character, so.
Yeah. So it was interesting. But he goes, I guess I just never noticed that many fucks. So I was like, that is a lot more fucks than you thought. Hey, are we rolling?
We're rolling.
Welcome to
the
Sunset Girl podcast. Hey.
Hey.
It's me and Kelsey. Blair couldn't be with us right now.
Blair couldn't be with us.
It's a health issue, and she's fine. Stop asking. But also, we have our good friend Seth Scalero here with us.
I said it close to right in the preview.
It's actually Don Henley.
It's Don Henley.
And I just drank blood from Glenn Fry's skull.
Down at the Sunset Spill.
He's here to sue us for the use of the Sunset Grill song.
It's Scalaro.
Scalaro.
Not that it's that important. I mean, I noticed you had it spelled wrong on your phone from guessing, like, since we've known each other.
Yeah,
so,
always.
I mean, you know, I can't blame you, but.
It doesn't matter.
And then you passed it on to Kelsey.
Everyone always calls me Burns with an S. So.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
For you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Remember at Tyler's Roast, Ed called you that. And it was just like, you're in front of a whole room of people. And, like, everybody's just got to be like, it's Burn.
Burn.
Ooh, Burn.
Well, welcome back to the Sunset Mall fucking Grill.
It has been a long time since our last thing, and it's only because I'm lazy and the
holidays
happened. Seth, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was, you know, on par.
Okay. Yeah. That's about everyone's, really.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as what I like this Thanksgiving is they were like, all you heard, like, the days and weeks coming up to Thanksgiving was like, here's not how to fuck up your Thanksgiving with your family. Like, every media outlet was like, do not talk about politics.
Oh, yeah.
Watch out. It was like every station you turned to was like, don't talk about this and don't talk about that. And I was like, do we really need the media to be like, here's what you do on your Thanksgiving, guys? It's like, I just feel like they think they're teaching us everything nowadays. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I know how to fucking deal with my family. They're my fucking family.
It's funny, because I kind of have a story about Thanksgiving. All right, there was one moment. But, I usually go to my girlfriend's parents' house, and her uncle was there. And, you know, they're all bikers. And so at one point, we're just watching TV, and he's like, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Except for Muslims and Democrats.
And you're like,
and that's all he said the rest of the day.
Great.
But it was just kind of funny that he said that. And he's in his brother-in-law's house, who is somehow part of a union in South Carolina.
Wow.
And has been out of work for like 2 years because of an injury. And is like still getting paid. And it's like, you know.
Roll time.
I thought the only unions were like Boeing or whatever.
I don't know. He makes elevators.
Oh, right. Probably Otis then.
The other one.
Oh, the other one.
The two German names or whatever.
Krupp. Tyson Krupp.
There you go.
There you go. Trivia guy over here.
Yeah.
So, Seth, well, I guess we should tell people that you and I are both trivia guys, and as well as other things. You are also in you're the front man for the band The Slobs.
At one
which
time.
Is fucking the craziest show you've ever seen. And I think if you still can see him, Myrtle Beach, if it ever comes around, you have to go. It gets weird, and it's It's great.
And it'll be the same seven songs every time. So it's that don't you worry about singing along.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's like we do it like they do in Vegas, you know? I'm out!
Yeah. Yep. Always a fun show, though. It really is. It
never a dull moment.
Gets very weird. Some dicks will show up, some balls.
Hey, you never
it's a lot
know.
Of fun.
You know,
it's a good salty time.
Welcome to the machine.
Exactly.
Dicks and balls.
So I'd like to get into something really quick. So I went to Asheville with my girlfriend. And I went to a bar, and there's this really smiley older guy. He's just like, hi, and he's talking to us, and we're kind of, okay, hey, what are you guys doing here? Oh, I'm not from here. Okay, man, cool, we're just trying to have a drink, you know, whatever. So, anyway, I ended up engaging the guy in conversation, because there's a lot of times when people keep picking these kind of conversations with me, I like leading them down dark roads just to see if I can get something out of the conversation, because I don't feel like having small talk. So I started asking what he does, whatever. He's a professor at Washington State University, and as well as another university out in Washington State, but he actually lives in Idaho, but goes back and forth.
What? Why would he drive? Why would you?
Isn't Idaho right up against Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's in the vicinity.
It's like little chimney.
The chimney.
Okay. Yeah, so I think it's probably just cheaper in Idaho or whatever the fuck. So,
okay.
So he goes back and forth to these two universities, but he teaches, I gotta look at the word, pharmacotherapy is what he works on, which is essentially the invention of drugs. That's what he does. It's like he creates new drugs and works on that, tests new drugs, whatever else. So he starts going on about like, yeah, you know, it's like there's a lot of these guys out there, you know, they're on the Watson 7.5 milligram Vicodins, and you know, they're mixing them with the benzodiazepines, and you know, and they're getting these really high stuff, which is something it's known in circles that you can take like a benzo with something like what's that shit they give you to get you off of heroin? Methadone.
Methadone.
Take methadone with a benzo, and it's like a high equivalent to heroin. So they're not getting anywhere with methadone if you can get your hands on benzos too. People just end up in this weird zombie stupor. So he said he was specifically working on a drug that you would take so that synergy wouldn't work as well anymore, and that was what his field was in. And he knew a lot about street level drugs or whatever. And so I was like, yeah, man, I was like, let me ask you a question. You know that James Holmes guy out in Colorado, you know, he was working on basically the same thing. He was a drug designer. That's what he was. He was a genius, and he was the Joker shooter, Colorado shooter. And I was like, do you think he ever like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde it, or like played with his own medicines that he was making, like tried some of his neurochemicals on himself?
Because
the guy seemed very whacked the fuck out. I mean, if you look at him.
Orange hair.
Yeah. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to tell you.
Beady eyes.
It's like when I first got into it, I asked an older professor around, like, hey, you know, do people experiment on themselves? And he goes, every fucking one of them do it. He literally was like, we all do it. He's like, you can't know what you're fixing or doing unless you get in there, man. And I'm like, so you're clearly a drug addict guy making a drug. Like, the world is all fucked
up.
That's
the real Marvel universe.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you don't know you're a mechanic until you fix your own brakes.
Right. Then you know.
That's a good one.
Which, strikingly enough, the James Holmes and Heath Ledger both on Vicodin at the time of their death. Which he was trying to be the Joker. Oh, and then, there's, which I know, essentially in this show, we're gonna dabble in some MK Ultra later, but I can't get there yet. But I do want to just say that there's, if I could just pull up this article really quick, I'm so sorry. I have it here. The James Holmes, okay, so this is a headline. This is The Guardian, judge approves use of, quote, truth serum on accused Aurora shooter James Holmes. So they were going to inject him with a truth serum.
See, I've always heard that's bullshit and that those don't really exist.
I don't know. But if you want to talk about MKUltra and giving people drugs and he's designing drugs and then they're going to use a truth serum on the guy and he's also addicted to drugs. It just gets really strange where you're like,
it's like, what kind of answers are you going to be getting at the end of the day?
Yeah. They want a formula on the crazy drug he gave himself to go shoot up theaters. I mean, I've often wondered, did he take some crazy dose of some crazy new drug that no one knows? Because we know what, like, Hoffman invented LSD, right? Was it Hoffman?
Abby.
Not Abby. But, Albert Hoffman? Or is that the nuclear bomb? Either way.
I don't know. I just watched this documentary today about that, though.
But they all would take a shitload of acid. I mean, even Leary, when, you know, they first got their hands on it, they would just take all the shit. And that just goes, I'm just making the point that if you make designer drugs, you're probably taking those designer drugs. What did James Holmes invent? Like, he took this drug and he's like, I am the Joker and I'm going to go shoot up a theater.
It was Smilex gas.
Yeah, maybe.
Love that Joker.
Love that Joker. So that's just some odd tidbit that I was kind of piecing together. But I was just like, what? I've always thought that Holmes guy was strange. First, I was like, right, yeah.
You thought a guy who shot up a theater was strange?
It's an understatement. Yeah. But I did always think it was strange, though, that when it first happened. Did you get an answer on that?
Albert Hoffman.
Yeah, Albert Hoffman. But when you first get an answer about, let me finish that statement. When you first get an answer, like, oh, my God, who is this guy? And they arrest him. And it's like, orange-haired guy. Okay, what a whacked-out Hot Topic shopping motherfucker. Like, yeah, he's just a depressed kid who shot up a theater or whatever. And then you read, like, no, he's, like, the top of his class genius pharmaceutical maker, you know, like, and then you're like, whoa, there could be more.
He was the kid from American Horror Story.
You link everything back to that show.
You do. As a listener, I must say you do.
I guess they're covering all the dark shit, I guess. They're just doing it, you know, stealing, ripping from the actual dark reality to build a show, so fair enough. But there was other stuff too when it came to acid, like when they were testing MK Ultra, for instance. There would be offices where they were like, it's completely fine in this office to dose anyone else in this office because we want to know what's going on. And so guys are just going around all the time. And once you dosed them, you had to tell them, oh, by the way, I dosed you with acid, because then they had to know how to respond or whatever. But it was like, for a while, just to test it, they gave them all acid and were like, get your coworker when they're not looking and you do it too. And it's all fine. And that's what they did for a long time. They studied acid.
Yeah. I saw that in that documentary I was watching earlier today. This dude was like, people would freak out because nobody would tell them in the beginning of that shit. Like, they would, like, people wouldn't mind being on it if they knew. But if you, like, drink a cup of coffee and then the walls start melting, then you don't know what the fuck's going on, and people start flipping the fuck out. And that causes the reaction that they wanted to get to start with. They just wanted people to lose their fucking minds.
Well, yeah, wasn't there a guy who was involved with that eventually, like, jumped out of the window of his house?
Yeah, that's what the Errol Morris Wormwood documentary is going to be about, just coming out on December 15th on Netflix, and it's about that guy. That's one of the most famous cases of the MKUltra, actually, like, taking a sane man and making him kill himself in, like, 3 days. Great. Because MKUltra goes outside of the
bathroom. Goes back to the Joker. All it takes is one bad day to make you crazy.
I mean... Yep. And that's why it's so serious.
It goes out of the realm too of just acid. Like, MKUltra could be all kinds of different techniques on fucking with people, but we'll get into that in a minute. I got to do a quick update. Some old news: the Chester Chris Cornell.
It keeps coming back.
Just a couple tidbits with that is that one.
Not your fault, by the way.
No, I'm not doing it. Chris Cornell was killed in the MGM Grand Detroit. MGM Grand Detroit. Just links back to MGM. Weird shit going on with MGM Grand. Like, they have to have a PR.
I was about to say, that guy, he must be sweating bullets.
Thank you for smoking. Can't even save this.
And then also, interestingly, this article came out about 6 days ago. But Chester hogtied himself and tried to drown himself 9 months before he hanged himself.
What is he, AJ Soprano?
That's a commit.
I just want to know, like, who... Is that what AJ Soprano did, right?
Well, he put a bag over his head,
right,
and then tied a cinder block to his foot.
But when they say hog-tied yourself, how do you do that? Yeah.
It would have to be all front, I guess, or maybe he was just really coordinated in the back.
Yes. I mean, maybe he's just...
I mean, he was a wiry fella.
He had a change of heart and was able to break free from the restraint and climb to safety. But I just feel like, what if that was... What if they tried to kill him and he got out?
So, he snuck through a vent.
Hogtied him. They threw him in the pool. And they leave. Like, get the fuck out of here. And he makes it out. And then he's like, oh shit. Like, now I've only got a little bit of time to live before they fake my suicide a different way. I don't know, man.
Dude,
Are
they big enough to make this possible? Yes.
I mean, people can hogtie yourself, but.
I mean,
I guess. I don't know.
As you've said before on the show, like, listening to his lyrics, it's obvious he was a disturbed person.
Yeah.
Came from a disturbing background. Yeah.
Definitely. There's not a whole
John Podesta's bastard son, right?
Right.
Wow. That's totally... I found that on Conspiracy.
Yeah.
You sent me the one link.
It's being passed around everywhere.
Oh, it's hot.
In the comments, that was the main topic.
Because we don't know
everybody.
If you want to, I don't think there's any credence to that, but I do think that they do look alike. And oh, we do know.
Fact one.
Do we know that who Chester's father is? I don't think we know who that is.
Mr. Bennington?
Ever revealed? I don't think he knows either. He said he'd never reveal it or something like that.
Oh.
And he was molested at a young age, which is certainly fits the Podesta
thing. In Carcosa.
This is, all right, so.
The Yellow King. Sorry.
Death is not the end.
In Norman, in our Bates Motel, Norma Bates was molested by her brother, then having her first son. So, just good.
So, is Norman, he's a brother?
No. Norman has an older brother who is.
So Chester could be incest, you're saying?
Yes, that could be.
Incest?
That could be something that's going on. Why he wouldn't reveal that or whatever. Like, maybe he came from something like that. Or it's John Podesta. fuck, who knows?
I'll entertain the theory, but I just think, aside from them looking like, kind of sounding like, and they would not know, whatever. And what I just can't buy into that.
Yeah, actually, crawling in my skin, these wounds, they will not heal. I believe he's talking about burning the roof of his mouth on a slice of pizza.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I get out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by a slice of pizza, too.
He's just caught in the undertow.
Pizza, you say?
Caught in the undertow. All right. Other quick
update.
Every
second I wait.
Yeah. Other updates and my beats working on the Mandalay Effect. Mandalay Effect update is that, one, it's the lion lays down with the wolf, not the lamb. That's how the Bible quote goes. It's not the lion and the lamb lay down together.
God damn it. I always confuse those ones.
It's a big, people
that's
always say lion
one.
And
that's
lamb.
The biggest one.
Just, no one ever says lion.
Just the other day at church.
That's the biggest one.
Scarecrow had a gun in The Wizard of Oz.
Fucking
A. Yeah, I know.
Okay, a lot of people
all
don't know
that. All these Mandela ones, it's just like.
They're made, well, you,
well,
okay.
Trivia.
And by the way.
See if I can get you on any of them.
Hold on. Can I just interject real quick as listening to your previous episode? Swain was full of shit on one. He totally says, of the world, and we are the champions.
You know what it is? We started being full of shit on a lot of them.
Okay.
It was kind of a running joke. But on that one, that's an actual real one that people reported on. The reason being is that there's an early version of it that does not have of the world. It's like a demo or something like that. There is one that has
the Mighty Ducks version says of the world.
Right.
Well.
We actually had a lot of people talk about that.
That seriously. Might as well be Hammurabi's code, right?
Damn right.
Fruit of the Loom logo doesn't have a cornucopia.
That one got me.
If you picture the Fruit of the Loom logo, you picture a cornucopia with fruit in front of it. A lot of
people think grapes that. And
I thought the big cantaloupe
no
at the back was a cornucopia.
Fruit. It looks weird without the cornucopia.
Oh, so it's just not shaped in a cornucopian
like
shape.
There's a brown cornucopia coming from behind it that a lot of people can see. In fact, people have made images of it online.
Yeah, here.
And I look at it and
so
I go,
is there one or not?
No, there's not one for real. But when you look at the one with the cornucopia, you go, that shit makes total fucking sense. Or at least I did. I was like, that's the way I remember.
But it's just like a bunch of grapes, an apple.
There's a bunch of grapes and an apple.
Yeah.
But people can see the cornucopia.
See, this is the actual logo.
Oh.
But this is the logo people see.
Right? Looks right.
That one looks right, but
isn't it just
not.
The same picture with the cornucopia behind it?
Yes, but the cornucopia. Yeah.
Oh. Well, no. And with the one without the cornucopia, there's like the...
Oh, it's just reversed. Or is it?
Well, I guess so. Fuck.
Yeah, it's just the cornucopia.
Yeah.
I
mean, I just can... Like, I can see it like that in my head. Like, I remember seeing that. So someone made that fake one, and they're literally like...
Are you saying you have bootleg underwear?
I guess so. I probably did.
And that's what Bill said.
And the last one is just Ed McMahon never had anything to do with Publishers Clearinghouse.
I got that one.
Okay.
What was his?
His was American Family Publishing.
Yep.
Oh, well, while you're still on the subject, I brought a little.
Oh, look at that.
Oh,
this is an original
man.
From 71, I believe.
Folks, we're looking at a 1971 Baron Staines Bears book.
Let me double check.
Spelled.
Yep, 71.
Spelled Stain. It still looks weird if you look at it.
Yeah. I was really hoping I'd pull it out and it would say Stain.
Whoa.
We got to go.
Glitch.
Ooh, let's go west.
I found that there was a show that Sinbad did as a pirate that people remember him.
Are you thinking of Lou Ferrigno, Sinbad of the Seven Seas?
No. But. Sinbad did this Sinbad and like the pirate, Sinbad the pirate, where he dressed sort
makes
of
sense.
Like Shaq in Shazam.
Good cast.
Which Kazam. Is why people confuse the Sinbad movie. Yeah, exactly. Oh,
sorry, Buzzam. It's always
yeah,
been
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's always been that shit.
Bazinga, isn't right? it? That's what the kids say.
Why I know, fuck that, by the way. The Bazinga thing, I don't get it.
Is it from?
Yes, it is, and it doesn't make sense.
Third, not 30 a fan. Rock from
Big Bang Theory is not Thank my you. Thing. And they're making another show off of it about the young version of yeah, the kid who's like the worst.
I'm shell done with that one already.
Fucking A.
I can't watch the Big Bang Theory. That's a good one.
That's well done, shell done.
Okay, that's all the Mandalay effects that I got for this thing. The audience likes them. Yeah. It gives a reason for people to argue
with
them.
Trying to think if I know any.
One is this one about the Statue of Liberty's facing a different way than the Statue of Liberty always faced, but you actually have to be looking at pictures for that and to understand.
How the hell would I know?
Well, some people say there's famous pictures of the Statue of Liberty, like, looking at the Twin Towers, when the Twin Towers, whatever, like, people caught these iconic images.
Of course.
But then you look, and it's really looking out towards the water, not at the Twin Towers, because it's accepting the people that are coming in.
And I would imagine it's just maybe it's a little further, what would that be, east. And so it looks like it's looking at it, but
you could catch an angle of it any way you wanted to make it look like anything.
I mean, they were big buildings.
When you back up far enough, you could see anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You exactly. stand right behind the Statue of Liberty and then just catch the buildings and do what I own.
That's
how you do it, folks. That's how you do it.
Let's see. Vegas. Any updates on Vegas?
They're still not talking about it.
Yeah. That's why it's funny.
I actually saw something about it the other day and I was like, hey, look at that.
Probably referencing they're not talking about it.
Nah, I forget what it was. It was something very minimal, though.
There was the guy in Reno who pulled a sniper rifle out and started shooting from a condominium building just recently. I would say last month. And then he was going to... Whatever, I'll just read this quote. What makes the story highly strange, aside from the fact that it mirrored the Las Vegas shooting and went mostly overlooked by national media outlets... It's that a unit in the condo the man was shooting from was owned by Paddock recently. According to the New York Daily News, Paddock sold the unit at the Montage in Reno just a year ago. So,
what's in that condominium?
What's in that condominium?
Dude, this is... it seems like this
are the
is
walls
people,
covered in...
Like, I think there might be some... James, what's his face?
James Holmes drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a similar part of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are maybe Paddock just... pissed off that we're not getting any closure on this situation, and they're like, I'm gonna just go to
I gotta
every place you've ever sat down and shoot from there.
Just gonna bump it into the news cycle again. Bump stock.
Exactly. Bump stock.
Not funny.
Hey, don't buy stock in bump stock.
I do wonder how many people now... It was a joke. It wasn't a joke, but it was like... When we first did our first Vegas things or whatever, it was kind of like, this will get covered eventually, whatever. But now it's kind of looking like this is just gone, and it's never going to be really talked about. Did you know if you search for his girlfriend's name, you don't even get, like, you go to, like, search for his girlfriend's name, and then go to Google and, like, click news all, view all or whatever, and it's like, sorry, there's no updates on that. Like, literally it tells you, like, there's nothing. You got nothing on her at all. We'll never hear from her again. Like, what? Yeah, why not?
Where is she? Thailand? Philippines?
It's Philippines is where she was for a minute. She was even in... Tokyo for a minute during that time. She was jumping around countries, but maybe just for airline purposes. I don't know, but yeah, Philippines. There's some
so much fucking shit doesn't add up on that situation, nor will it ever. And
yeah, and I just want to say I actually feel legitimately bad for the people. I mean, as we all should, but like the victims and the people around the victims, not just for what happened to them there, but what's happening to them now, because they're not getting really any attention. They're not getting any answers themselves. They were part of something. I'm sure there's some people who lost loved ones there that are going like, this looks like a fucking conspiracy because why the fuck don't we know anything? Not one video of Stephen Paddock ever released. And like,
not one.
You've got this.
In Vegas.
Yeah. And you've got this New York City.
Known for its cameras.
Yeah, exactly. You got the New York City Christmas light bomber that just blew himself up. And
no video of me.
And there's like fucking unlimited videos of this guy out within 2 days. The guy, ISIS, whatever.
Well, yeah, he was.
Is.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing the quotes doesn't really work
on air quote.
Yeah, on the, well, yeah, air quotes. Air quotes.
ISIS. Yeah, that's how you got to do it. You got to go. And he was.
ISIS.
Yeah.
But people can see.
Eye roll.
The only thing I have to add to that is just to go back to the Saudi princes real quick. You guys heard about this Leonardo da Vinci painting that sold for
apparently
record
a fake
$450 million. We don't know if it's Da Vinci or not.
Yeah.
Sold for $450 million. It was bought by Mohammed bin Salman, the one who was rounding up all the Saudi princes and arresting them. So he's just in the news lately. But he says he was just a middleman for this guy in Dubai, which...
Well, that
which is well. Way, there's a great theory.
This is a story of intrigue if I've ever heard one.
Well,
right?
You can read. I mean, I just
think Clooney know about this.
If you think though, these giant art purchases, especially the largest art purchase ever in mankind's history,
I mean, hundreds of millions. Yeah, it's gotta
be a great way to launder money. Honestly, you can shift money around pretty easily by just being like, "Here, you take this."
Are you saying the painting is the bank?
Can you just go
almost.
Yeah, you just you take this
it's like,
thing.
Well, you'll always have this around.
Yeah, it's like, you take this thing and you give us $450 million. Okay, well, is it a real Da Vinci? It doesn't matter. We got you on something. Just give us the money.
Everybody thinks it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't ask too many questions.
Yes, wink.
I mean,
is it dusty? Well, then it's old.
Yeah. I'm no expert on Da Vinci, but looking at it, I thought it didn't look like a Da Vinci to me.
It's just a stick figure with two boobs.
Yeah, that's all it is.
I promise.
So
it's always looked like this.
Black and white.
That's
with
my,
Sharpie.
Minor
you just remember
ketchup.
It differently.
Okay, so that's my rundown of just old news and all of that. I think people look into the Chester Bennington thing. This shit's it's only 6 days old. All right, pay attention.
Any new business? Oh. Any new business?
Any new business? We got Seth here. Seth had some thoughts, some ideas.
Do I?
No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Good.
I
get. Do you want to wait? We could do a smoke break. We can come back and chat about that or finish off.
You know, I'm always down for a smoke break.
All right, folks. This is the Sunset Grill taking a little smoke break. Stick with us. And we are going to come right back with some of the stuff that we need to do. Shit, pussy fucker. Jam it in my Jameson bottle. What? It's like Tourette's, man.
Connecticut a curse word?
It sounds like Connecticut. Like, flit? I don't know what the joke is. But yes, it's bad. So, folks, we're here to discuss a little bit of MK Ultra. As we were discussing kind of off mic as we do sometimes, but MK Ultra is basically like your conspiracy theory entry level shit that like people used to talk about years ago. And I used to kind of go like, all right, yeah, that sounds feasible. Okay, but it's probably not right. It's probably not true. You know, as I was always in this denial of MK Ultra, and now what we find out because the CIA director at the time post MK Ultra just demanded that all the evidence of MK Ultra be destroyed, and I think they only destroyed 79% of all the information that they had, but somehow 21% of the information that the total information made it out somehow of the CIA, and so now we know a lot more about it. And it's actually true. MK Ultra is a real thing, which blew my mind because I thought it was one of these Bigfoot real things. Like, I didn't know that it would ever be proven true. I thought it was just one of these theories everyone was going to have forever. And,
thank you, Bill Clinton.
Yeah. So Supreme Court, actually, there's a case where they handled stuff. We know now that the Unabomber was MK Ultra, which we can get into.
No, I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Bro.
Oh.
Yeah,
perhaps I saw it in passing, but damn.
So quick up. Well, do you want to talk about that for a second, Unabomber?
Dude, yeah, we can.
Or should we just give base level MK Ultra?
Yeah, well, this is. He went to college at like 16, right?
16, yeah, Harvard.
I went to Harvard at like 16, obviously, and these guys. He became obsessed with this professor. He wanted to be more like him or yada yada, and apparently find out that this guy was part of the CIA and part of MK Ultra and totally...
Right. They befriended him. They asked him for all of his deepest, dark secrets, and they asked
filmed
him for
it.
All of his viewpoints, which are all in the manifesto and all his
viewpoints. So it's almost like a Skull and Bones type deal.
Yes.
Yeah, they actually took a giant group of students at Harvard and had them go
through. They sold it to him like that.
Yeah, they went through all these tests.
Oh, this is to get him in.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, they set up this big panel of a huge amount of students for this study at Harvard. And they just kept dismissing students. No, no, not you, not you, not you, not you. And kept Teddy K on the in the project. And then what they did was they befriended him. And then one day they were like, hey, now we're going to do something different today, if you don't mind. I got some guys from government here who kind of want to talk to you. And we're going to take some of the heads of the psychology departments and stuff like that at Harvard. And they brought them into a room. They said, today's going to be a little different. We're going to strap these electrodes to you. And
strap you to this chair.
And then they started basically just dismantling every idea that he had ever given to this professor in secret. Like, you know that one thing that you said about this? You stole that from this person. You're nothing. Everything you say doesn't make sense. Broke him down or whatever. And he swears he was never broken down. But anyway, they ended up doing that to him over and over and over again for about 2 years.
Came out of there like hating the Beatles.
Yeah. So they did that to him over and over for like 2 years. But all of the viewpoints that he had, it was later released in the Unabomber Manifesto, never really changed, apparently. Everything that he was saying to the people, the CIA and Harvard and all that, like back then that they were making fun of him on, is later what became the manifesto, which, you know, might make you understand why he's got such a, you know, a bomb up his ass.
A disregardful reason.
In American history.
Yeah. And what?
And is arguably one of the greatest pieces of American writing in America.
It's very interesting. Too much in the manifesto,
he's a Harvard educated man.
It's anti-technology. It says the technology is one day going to take over everyone's life, which is true.
Look at this guy.
It happened.
You can't eat your cake and have it too.
And So Unabomber definitely MKUltra. And you can get this information on websites such as like the Smithsonian, shit like that. Now it's not like you got to go to like, you know, some weird ass fucking website to find this out. Yeah. It's all public record now, which I just think is weird that there wasn't a big boom tonight on CNN. We find out MKUltra was real. It just kind of like became true all of a sudden, MKUltra. And now it's like, you can talk about it. It's true.
People don't want to accept how terrifying it is that this exists.
Right. And so all it is that the CIA invented a program to test mind control on American citizens, which the CIA is not supposed to do anything with American citizens. It's not part of their wheelhouse. In fact, I think it was Reagan in 1980 actually had to do an executive order to demand that the CIA never work again on American citizens.
Mean it this time.
Yeah, stop it, CIA.
Tuskegee is still fresh in our heads.
Right. We remember this.
It's just bizarre knowing. But again, if you want a good breakdown of that part of history, you can watch the show on, it's a Discovery Channel produced show, but it's on Netflix and it's called Manhunt.
Oh, Manhunt. Great fucking show.
Yeah, not Mindhunters, but it shows the origin story of the monster the CIA created in the Unabomber. So if you want to know, like, this Weapon X ship that they were building on this fucking guy and how he became the Unabomber, great information. In fact, you can skip right to, as I did, the episode just called Ted, and that's the name of the episode, and it just shows you all of the, how he became, this young genius became basically controlled and fucked with by the CIA. I don't know if they ever really got control of them. Unless they wanted to build a Unabomber, then maybe they totally succeeded in what they did. I don't know. I'm sure there's laws.
I don't know what was going on that week.
Right. Like,
what were they distracting us from?
Yeah.
What was happening in Nicaragua or in the 90s?
Or did they pass some new laws where they were like, listen, no more mailing of this kind, and if you ever mail, it's got to be like this because we got this mail problem going on. So maybe they passed some legislation based on, you know, whatever the fuck he was doing, but I don't know if they meant to build a supervillain or if they didn't mean to build a supervillain. It gets very complicated.
What if the Unabomber had the internet?
He didn't like that.
he would spam the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would have produced his manifesto a lot easier.
Yeah.
Would have been like,
he would have blogged
a 1,300 part Twitter.
Twitter storm.
Hashtag two. Industrial strength and its future.
But yeah, I got to tell you, it's really difficult when you find out that Ted Kaczynski was MKUltra'd and you have a girlfriend who just doesn't, and I love my girlfriend to death, and she's just not into this kind of stuff. But
I don't think anyone's girlfriend is.
Yeah, so then you say, And you say something like, you know what? Like, you're walking around the house. You're like, you know what? Now I kind of understand the Unabomber. And she's like, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, no, what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, well, I mean, I kind of get, like, why he did what he did. She's like, please stop. Should I be concerned right now? Literally a conversation we had.
Look at our fucking TV. Look at it.
I even said, I was like, let's go through the manifesto and just read it together. Do we disagree or just not with this point?
Yeah, right?
And she's just like.
Please say that was on Valentine's Day.
I don't want to. Yeah, she's got to not do this anymore. I go, well, like, shouldn't we know why he killed these people? Because, like, if you go back to Vegas, for instance, there's no manifesto. And I don't know why he did what he did. But this other guy goes, no, here's exactly why I did what I did. I like to know that kind of information. Doesn't mean I want to be the Unabomber or anything like that. NSA, you know what I'm saying? NSA doesn't listen to podcasts, probably.
Yes.
Just go straight to my phone.
And if you do, thank you for listening. Please
review us. Thanks, NSA. Yeah, please write a review.
Yeah.
Condi, if you're still listening, hit me up.
Yeah. So, if you look at MK Ultra, though, what's hard about it is that's a huge overarching name for what turned out to be hundreds of scientists working on, and they used a lot of universities to do this work. So the CIA sometimes would not be directly involved, but they would tell the professors what to do and how to do it. And so there's hundreds and hundreds of different operations that are revealed. And remember, we only have like 21% of said knowledge. So I do wonder how we know that number. That we have 21%.
Maybe that was on the first page. Yeah. It was like, enclosed is the last 21%.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said that it was like 200,000 documents that were released, and that was a drop in the bucket to what they had.
It's kind of like WikiLeaks before there was WikiLeaks.
Yeah, exactly.
If you still got the information, folks, WikiLeaks is still around. I mean, Julian Assange is just a CG-programmed person now, but working for Russia. But you could still go just release some stuff to him. Russia would love to release it. Just kidding. We don't know if Assange is dead.
I believe I saw him performing That's Just the Way It Is the other day.
Hashtag Embassy Cat.
Things will never be the same.
Embassy Cat, look it up. So then, what you got another one? You got another example of an MK Ultra?
Yeah, the bread, the bakery.
Yes.
So there was this epidemic in France, where apparently children and an entire village full of people just started acting fucking crazy. This child was jumping on her bed, saying the ceiling was bleeding. And people ended up, I think it was like three or four people who actually ended up getting killed because of this crazy, like just acting fucking crazy.
Were they guillotined?
Like, maybe. I got it here, but.
It's known as the 1951 Pont Saint-Esprit mass poisoning. And Esprit is spelled like the now defunct clothing brand or shoe brand or whatever the fuck that was, but we all remember. Yes.
Esprit.
Esprit. Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. And the theories are that there was, I believe, CIA operations going on just outside of this town. This was a tiny closed-off town, and that they wanted to test what would happen if you dosed an entire town with LSD. That's the theory. Because there was mass hysteria for sure, but we don't know. And again, this is, let's see what year this was.
1951. One man tried to drown himself, screaming that his belly was being eaten by snakes. An 11-year-old tried to strangle his grandmother. Another man shouted, "I am a plane," before jumping out of a second-floor window, breaking his legs.
Mm-hmm. And so the one thing that they do is, I'll read a conspiracy theory right now. It's researcher John Craig Amp Fuller's book, The Day of St. Anthony's Fire, concluded that a form of ergo that logically has to be akin to LSD was a likely culprit, but that we may never know for certain because toxicologists and doctors could not reach an agreement. So ergo is just what you're getting out of. It's like it's a natural formed LSD that comes from mold.
Yeah.
Mold.
Yeah.
It also often happened in California a few years back too.
So,
well, I mean, think about the ease of that. Cause the CIA, it's like, how are we going to get everyone in the village to take the same thing? It's like, oh, we'll just go to France and put it in the wine.
Yeah. They put it in the bread, actually.
Apparently. Oh, the bread. That's right. The baker. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they love their baguettes. Everybody was coming home with those.
Every day you go get a baguette.
Those brown bags with the baguette sticking out, and maybe a stalk of celery.
But, yeah, there's people that think, they think it's part of the MK Naomi chemical behavior program. So that's what I'm saying is MK Ultra breaks down into all these different MKs. and all these different projects, like all the way to Project Monarch and Project Everything. It's just, you can go down the fucking line. MKUltra is just a big umbrella for a lot of different
stuff. Yeah, wasn't there a telekinesis one as well?
Yes.
Yeah, there's one for everything.
And also,
how to win Monopoly in a half hour.
There was quite a lot of years before that it was revealed that it was part of that. It was like 50 years, I believe, before the CIA actually... Or not just that soldiers or people actually confirmed the fact of that they did that.
What year did it go public?
I actually don't think it has gone public on this one. I actually don't think that it ever was proven.
Article here says...
Oh, you just mean Saint...
What they're saying Saint Esprit. Yeah, just the Saint Esprit, right. That's what I mean to be saying.
I got you saying it wrong.
People think that it could have been mercury poisoning, could have been fungicides, it could have been whatever. But as this one guy said, historian Stephen Kaplan dismissed Elaberry's theories and assertions as hardly possible. And this guy named anthropologist named Bernd Riken wrote that, quote, even in the secular society of the present, substitutes for the devil and other demons may be found. In this case, the CIA, which some people believe capable of every conceivable evil. So they're just saying, like, you're nuts if you think it was the CIA, but you think you believe in the devil if you believe the CIA is doing all this bad stuff. But have you seen Children of the Corn?
Yes.
It's been a while.
Okay. I watched it the other day.
Did you watch any of the sequels of Children of the Corn?
I don't think so.
I believe it was the third Children of the Corn. Maybe the 25th. But they basically gave the reasoning for the mass hysteria in that town to be a mold in the grains in that town. And that's why all the kids went nuts. It was mass hysteria. Like, it actually gave like a, here's what happened. It wasn't just a devil in a cornfield. It was the corn caught. It was corn. Corn caught this thing. Of course it was corn. It's Children of the Corn.
Hence the name.
But yeah, corn caught this thing, and it's just like this place that it's like then everyone went fucking
nuts. Well, how are you going to build it up and then knock it down like that with logic and reason?
I don't know.
I was just ready to believe it was the CIA. Yeah. And then,
well, the Children of the Corn.
You bring 80s movies into
it. I don't think Children of the Corn is involved. Well, they could have been trying to tell us something through a movie. Who knows? Maybe
that's what they've been doing the whole time.
Well, let's go ahead. Look up. Who were the writers on that movie?
Yeah.
Well, who got to them?
King was first, but
I don't think the subsequent sequels
had anything to do with the grain theory. I don't think. I've never read the book itself, so maybe he did. King will throw.
I believe that was in his book, The Grain Mile.
The Grain Mile. Yeah, I think you're conflating.
I really believe that I met Stephen King while he was writing The Grain Mile at a truck stop in Florence.
Huh.
I really believe that happened. That's for another day, though.
If anything's going to inspire you.
Well, I know that he likes to move around the world and go to places where
get inspiration.
Yeah. So, and that was a very Southern movie and a lot of dialect, but it sounds like people that's from Florence.
He's dead now, right? The Green Mile guy.
Yeah. Michael Clark Duncan.
What? Oh, yeah. I thought you meant, Paul Edgecombe, Tom Hanks' character? I don't think so. I think he's like 127, but
the rat's still alive.
But anyway, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to make of that. Except for like,
are you saying Michael Clark Duncan was MK Ultra?
Yeah, I'm sure that if you take the idea that the CIA certainly did tests on people using hallucinogenic drugs, and that is now proven. I don't remember the day that MKUltra got proven because it's so strange to me. Wasn't it to you, though? Didn't it feel like MKUltra was always like the...
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. It was just...
And then all of a sudden when I see...
No, wait.
The day that Clinton gave that speech that said that the CIA...
Wait, which Clinton and post-presidency?
No, during his presidency, like 93,
94. Did he say MKUltra by name? I doubt it.
Yeah, I feel like it was I feel like it was after I had learned about it, which would have been early 20th century,
forever,
21st
yeah, like,
century.
I've known about it. People bring up MK Ultra forever in my life, and that's what I'm saying is whenever someone was like, "Oh, that's MK Ultra," I'd be like, "Okay, whatever."
Apology to human experiment victims.
Oh goodness,
Bill Clinton.
Was that right after the Human Genome Project was done?
I love the line online where they're like, I don't know, this is unrelated, but they're like, do you really think they stopped with Dolly? You know, like the sheep that they cloned. Did you really think they just stopped there? Oh, yeah, we could totally clone something. We'll just let that go now. Come on, man.
They never really brought that up again. No. And then they're like, oh, but we're going to have a woolly mammoth in a few years.
Yeah. You'll be able to make a you, and then if you ever need a heart, just use organs.
So they're training Chris Pratt to deal with these things in real life, not just in Jurassic World.
Wait, no. That wasn't the last cloning, though, was it?
Aren't there subsequent clones? No, I think they've cloned like a horse or something like that. Yeah. There's been some mad scientists who say they're cloning humans and shit like that. But like, it's never, they don't talk about what our government's doing with cloning or what the ramifications could be. I mean,
I don't know. Are stem cells involved?
Probably. They're always involved. You got to have the stem cells, folks. You got to have them.
But
don't go there. So, where do they find those things, those stem cells?
Stems.
Do you want to hear Bill Clinton's
Yeah, sure. Play that, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Oh, you're actually playing him?
Thousands of government-sponsored experiments did take place at hospitals, universities, bases around our nation.
Look at that look.
Some were unethical, not only by today's standards, but by the standards of the time in which they were conducted. They fail both the test of our national values and the test of humanity. Informed consent means your doctor tells you the risk of the treatment you are about to undergo. In too many cases, informed consent was withheld. For these experiments,
what does Bill Clinton really know about informed consent?
I was about to say, this could just as easily be mislabeled and just be a Paula Jones apology.
Yeah.
This report I received today is a monumental document. In more ways than one. But it is a very, very important piece of America's history. And it will shape...
Still sounds like an apology to Paula Jones.
Yeah, it does.
It's an important piece of American history.
At hospitals, universities, and military bases. Thousands of government-sponsored experiments did take place at hospitals, universities, and military bases around our nation. The goal was to understand the effects of radiation exposure on the human body. While most of the tests were ethical by any standards...
Okay, so this one's speaking specifically about radiation attempts, but they're admitting that the government tests on people.
Yeah, so I mean, I was going to stop it right there. I mean, do you need any more than that? Yeah. The president is admitting that...
Yeah, it's just great how conditioned we are to... It's just like, oh, well, hey, they admitted it.
Must not have been that bad.
Good, that's cool.
I mean, this is only going to open other doors. Like, you know, when people talk about transparency, like, I don't want transparency. Like, I'd rather find it out, like, on my own terms than, like, just being like... Oh, by the way, we jerked off a spider onto this guy's face, and it burned him.
But yeah, it does. I just want to tell people that, like, if you're like, fuck conspiracy theories or whatever. Okay, there's your government telling you, our government's been testing a bunch of shit on people for a while. Which you mentioned Tuskegee earlier. That was a syphilis experiment to see how they would give African American gentlemen Alabama or Mississippi, I think.
Georgia, maybe?
Or Tuskegee's.
Tuskegee's in Alabama.
Oh, that would make sense.
Right. So they would give those guys syphilis.
Who just voted Democrat tonight, by the way.
What's that?
Who just voted Democrat tonight, by the way.
Oh, right. Yeah, Moore got ousted.
Yep.
But they would give these guys syphilis, and then they would be like, well, let's check back in a while, see how the syphilis is going. And the guy like went in for something like, oh, I got chest pain. They're like, now you have chest pain and syphilis. Have a great day. That shot is going to be good. What the fuck is that?
Gotcha.
And so that's his doctor, or maybe it was a VA doctor. Maybe it was whatever. Maybe it's a government a doctor related with the government. Well, it matters in a sense because what we're talking about with MKUltra a lot of times is non-government people being told by CIA what to do to these people so that CIA could keep their hands clean a lot of times. So it would be like your Harvard professor did this to you. It wasn't the CIA. Well, it was technically the CIA. Well, it's technically not, you know? So with that, just now people, if you're listening, you have to accept the idea that the government does tests on American citizens unknowingly all the time. And I think that swallowing that pill really is hard and difficult, but you can't go anywhere to disprove that now. Everything proves it to be true. It's just very complicated to believe. And I would just say that I think that's what kept me away from MKUltra so long. Just be like, nah, I don't. Because it's only this year where I'm like, okay, MKUltra, I'm totally all in. Because for years, as me and Seth have discussed, you've heard about it since you were what age?
17 to 20.
You're right. 17 to 20. And I'm 45 now. So it's been a long time. But yeah, it's been a very long time. And it's just been like, okay, great. Yeah, cool. And Chupacabra too, right? And now all of a sudden it's like,
oh, Chupacabra.
Like, oh, no, there's so much real evidence that like people actually studied this and proved it all true and everything else. So you got to start there. But if you want to go into, you know, you can look up MKUltra and then you can go into as many different theories as you want. I've got one right here in front of me. Which is the are we done with the French people? Whatever happened to that? Did anyone kill anyone?
Yeah,
anyone
I mean, the one guy, there was like four suicides, right?
Four suicides. I like knowing the results because that's what CIA wanted to know too.
I mean, they can at least give us that one.
I didn't do it, but I do want to know what happened. Interesting test.
They dropped one of those outbreak style bombs on it.
just kill them.
Yeah, just.
But apparently they were.
Oh, like, no! They died in World War One.
They were a really sweet French town that just went mad. Yeah. Everyone in town went mad. There's also.
I mean, you got to figure a little French village too. It's 6 years after it's been affected by, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Another massive war that was mostly fought on its soil, and it's like, I'm sure these people are a little on edge.
Yeah, right. Like, I remember the horrors.
Yeah, I'm not getting.
Oh, here they are again.
Well, you check that out. I'll talk about Operation Midnight Climax.
Hey-o.
Hey, whoa. Hey-o. Rest in peace, August Ames.
It was established by Sidney Gottlieb. I don't know. I never know how to pronounce that last name, where it's G-O-T-T-L-I-E-B.
Gottlieb.
I believe
Gottlieb.
That's Gottlieb.
Doug Gottlieb.
Yeah.
Sports talk.
Well, let me tell you. See?
And
the Broad stand there forever.
It was placed under...
They got no shot.
Okay, so this is a sports thing?
Yeah, Doug Gottlieb. He's actually pretty good.
He was placed under the direction of the. It was placed under the direction of the Federal Narcotics Bureau in Boston, Massachusetts, with the officer George Hunter White under the pseudonym of Morgan Hall for the CIA as a subproject of Project MKUltra. And I guess that's the best way to call it, as subprojects. The CIA mind control research program began in the 1950s. Before the programs were shut down, hundreds of scientists would work on them. And that's just some background on MKUltra. But Operation Midnight Climax is where they set up safe houses, CIA-run safe houses in San Francisco. And they would just get a bunch of these motherfucking things. And not only that, but Marin. I don't know where Marin is. M-A-R-I-N. And New York
City. It's in the San Francisco area.
Okay. Yeah,
Marin County, I believe that's where San Francisco is. Because I know.
Okay, cool.
Marin Bay.
There we go. We got an expert here.
That's the bay that Otis Redding was talking about.
I've seen that bay. How do I know that?
I've heard that song.
I can do that.
The sad part is he didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man.
It's a true fact.
Left his home in Georgia, never got to hear that shit.
Never heard it on the radio, died before it happened.
Bummer.
I was ready to say.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to be a downer.
Jesus. Let's talk about the CIA mind-controlling people, please, to, like, lift up our spirits. So,
Otis, my man.
So they got a bunch of safe houses, and what they would do is it was established in order to study the effects of LSD on unconsenting individuals. So prostitutes on the CIA payroll were instructed to lure clients back to the safe houses, where they were surreptitiously plied with a wide range of substances, including LSD, and then monitored behind one-way glass. So the CIA gets this government money to set up these safe houses. They hire hookers to fuck people in front of them on LSD, and they sit behind the glass and watch. Why can't I have that job? Tap me, CIA. Tap me. I'm begging.
He's doing that now.
Yeah.
Just build a brothel.
Write that down.
It reminds me of that hotel room in Texas that has the two one-way mirror. Have you ever seen that? It's the Skull and Bones hotel room.
I'm not familiar
with
this.
Hotel 311. I think, what's the Skull and Bones number? Is it 311?
What do you mean Skull and Bones?
Skull and Bones has a number associated with it. That it's a hotel room, I believe, in Dallas, Texas. But they found out that this guy went to a... Fuck, I'll have to...
1122 1963 Avenue.
What's that? Skull and Bones.
No, November 22nd. You said Dallas. Oh, okay, so I just immediately went to JFK.
I'm talking about JFK on this show. Jesus Christ. I'm going to get us all killed.
I thought at this point it was just like an inside joke.
They released the shit, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. This is the new MKUltra.
322.
Skull
and Bones.
Well, let me go back to Operation Midnight Climax. Then we'll do the Skull and Bones room because we can pull that up and I can show people or I can at least tell you where to find it because it's a very interesting story. But I'll go back to Operation Midnight Climax. So... They're monitoring people behind one room mirrors, and then they would do extensive research into sexual blackmail. So a lot of these people would come in, and then they would have, they'd build a file on these people to be able to blackmail them.
It always starts with sexual blackmail.
Hey, you don't think sexual blackmail is rampant amongst, like, politics, well, celebrities? Of course, yeah. Well, this year we found out that everyone's doing it. Like, literally sexual blackmail has been the whole thing, which I have a theory on that, and I'll tell you in a minute, too. But
oh, I can't wait.
Operation Midnight Climax soon expanded, and CIA operatives began dosing people in restaurants, bars, and beaches. They didn't care anymore about the safe houses. They're going to get people restaurants, bars, just, and beaches.
Just spreading across the
just,
bay.
Just what if we dose a bunch of people at the beach? Yeah, what if we dose a bunch of people in this bar? What if we dose everybody here? See what happens. Can you imagine those times? Like, what the fuck? And then when they talk about shit like, oh, like the 60s, man, people were just dropping acid everywhere. You go to a restaurant, you just get acid, man. I was like, those hippies were crazy. No, man. It's like,
no.
It wasn't the hippies, man.
They were the minority.
They were trying to make a buck off of it. They weren't spreading acid everywhere. And they did a lot of the early Ken Kesey fucking Grateful Dead jams that they would have, the Operation fucking, not Operation, but Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. If you look into that, yeah. there was the original one, the Grateful Dead was the Warlocks, and Ken Kesey would throw these parties, and they'd give acid to everybody. Yes, things like that existed, but he wouldn't go to a bar and just start throwing acid everywhere, or a beach and throw acid everywhere. The CIA was doing that for him. And he was an early test subject of MKUltra as well. Ken Kesey, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the writer of that, was an early MKUltra, one of the first people in the United States to knowingly do LSD after they revealed to him he was doing LSD. So he... You know, genius guy, very interesting guy, but a victim of MKUltra as well. So it's very weird knowing that. But
I mean, it kind of makes sense when you look at the story.
Yeah. So then CIA Inspector General.
It does indeed.
Right. Exactly. CIA Inspector General John Ehrman heard about it and then strongly recommended closing the facilities. Great. Genius. Who's this guy? Who's this voice of logic?
Hey, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah. So 66 is when they shut down the ones in New York City, and they shut down the ones in San Francisco in 65. And so this had been going on since the 50s. So you think about how much they would have gotten done.
Wait. All right. Considering this happened in San Francisco primarily, are you suggesting that this is what gave rise to, like, the Flower Child and hippie and Haight and Ashbury movement?
Absolutely, because... If you think about it, Ken Kesey was one of the first people to do acid, and Ken Kesey's a victim of MKUltra by taking acid. He says, this shit's great, everyone should do this. He had access to tons of fucking drugs and then gave it away to people.
So basically the CIA was just like, oh, well then, here, have it.
Yeah, well, here,
I believe that the unintended result was that people became very anti-war and conscious of war and everything that you would do if you're on acid and thinking about war all the time.
And then they're immediately like... We must illegalize this.
Yes, exactly.
We cannot shut it down.
Oh, no, no, no. Daddy's got to eat.
It's like the opening scene of Pineapple Express. Do you remember that?
No, it's been like 10 years since I saw that
movie. So it's Seymour Hirsch in 1974 that brings reporter Seymour Hirsch, who's known for a lot of interesting things, but I can't remember right now. But Seymour Hirsch is a famous name as far as journalism. And he brought to light the CIA doing this stuff. And got it basically brought into the main light, which is just, I don't understand why it's been buried this long, at least from my consciousness.
That's so awesome. Next time I see, like, a deadhead, I'm going to be like, you're a creation of the CIA.
And so is the Unabomber.
Yeah.
So is James.
You're a shill and you don't even know it.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's what molded us. Yeah. I'm sure we're going to find out 15 years from now, like, 15 years ago, CIA was like, all right, let's do a little experiment on these podcasts. See what these assholes are saying about us.
Dose everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So so now I can get back to that weird hotel room, because they're just talking about hotel rooms with double-sided mirrors. But a guy on Reddit back in 2013 goes to a boutique hotel room in Houston, Texas. And he says, like, yeah, I just want a hotel room. And some of these rooms are themed. So it's like, you know, some of these boutique hotels, like, oh, it's like a steam. There's one in Nashville. It's a steampunk room you can go to. And it's very weird. It actually looks like just an S&M place.
Lots of copper.
But, yeah, look that up, by the way. Those are people I've rented from before. Not that room, but I've rented from these people before. But they have a very good steampunk, which looks like a bondage room to me, but whatever. So so basically this guy goes in. He says, hey, I want a hotel room. And they go, we're kind of booked up here. Take room 322. That's what it is. 322 is what's known with the skull and bones. So, and if you remember that this is Dallas, Texas, and we know that HW and I think even his father was very big in Skull and Bones.
Well, yeah, because Prescott was he was a senator from Connecticut.
Right.
So I imagine he went to Yale.
Right. And
because, I mean, if that's where the boys are going to follow.
I believe he's the one who reportedly stole Geronimo's skull and put it in there, which is why it's called Skull.
Yes.
Bones. Yeah. So
wait, is it him?
I believe it is.
Or what? Well, I don't know if I've heard that twist. Maybe I knew just that it was them, but hell, I don't know. I feel like that happened a lot earlier than him. Well, maybe not, because he was a senator in the 40s, so we've been in his 60s. So because that was right around the turn of the century, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I thought they
by all means look it up.
I thought they went into like a museum and stole a skull. But either way, that's how Skull and Balls is called Skull and Bones, because they have Geronimo's skull, and you can't see it because fuck you. But everyone else can see in this secret club.
You have to literally have blue blood to see his skull.
And if you don't know Skull and Bones, let me just tell you your first entry point.
Ask Andrew Meyer.
Is don't tase me, bro. That's where it starts. If you want a public consciousness way to get to wheel your way back towards the center of Skull and Bones, start with don't tase me, bro, which was a college student who stood up and asked George W. Bush.
John Kerry.
If it was weird that both him and George W. Bush were against each other, yet they were still part of the same very tiny organization. And then they tased him and threw him out. And they laughed while they were doing it.
If I could just interject real quick. Please. One thing I remember, speaking of John Kerry and Skull and Bones, is if we could go back to a time when things were different but still kind of the same, it was around the 2004 election. Alex Jones, talking about Kerry and Bush, he's like, Skull and Bones, which one's the lesser of two evils? And it's like either one's, you know, it was just like, for poor Jones at that time, he was just like, oh, who do I hate more? Who do I pick a side?
He's like pointing out, everyone's going, you nutcase, stop it. And they go, this is all on record. They both all agree that they're bonesmen. What? It's all normal. Fucking lunatic, Alex Jones. You're just making this crazy shit up to rile up people. No, but it's right there. Fuck you, Alex Jones. You crazy motherfucker.
I love Billy.
By the way, buy my skull and boner pills.
Exactly. Man's got to make a living.
Yeah. This powder, you put it in your milk, it tastes just like oranges.
So this room 322, this guy gets this room, he goes in there, and there's like a picture of a weird old man on the wall, there's a picture of a giant skull on the wall, there's a bed with like, I believe, like some kind of restraints on it, there's a what looks like a two-way mirror next to the bed, this strange stuff, and it all just happens to be the Skull and Bones number. And I don't know, if you want to look that up, just it's a Vice article from 2013. It's called A Weird Hotel Room in Houston is freaking Reddit out. But if you go and you look at the pictures and shit like that, it's very interesting shit.
So the man visited the hotel room in 2013.
Right.
So
he was just a regular guy who was like,
yeah,
look, they put me in this room. And then they were like, no, that room's not supposed to be rentable. And they take him out. And he was like, what did I just see? But when he got in there, he was like, choop, choop, took pictures of everything.
That's the mirror.
That's the bed with the mirror.
Oh,
it's a skull reflected in the background. It's certainly a normal hotel room.
I didn't realize we're looking at pictures.
Yeah, you can dance around the.
I mean, it's in Dallas. It's Texas.
They're all level dying.
You know,
in Texas.
The images you show.
Anyway, we're way off track with the MK Ultra, but I don't give a fuck. You got to go. That's what I'm saying. We talked about doing this episode about an MK Ultra, and I was like, man, that is like, you're asking like, let's cover presidents. And I'm like, man, you can't. Like, there's so many projects within MKUltra that, like, you got to go around. You got to do that kind of legwork yourself, because every different rabbit hole might. I like Operation Midnight Climax because it involves, like, sexual blackmail, which is very relevant these days. But, like, but other ones are just like, yeah, it was just dosed them up. Just to, like, get a bar, man. We don't know what happened. It's crazy. And you can't get the documents. Like, I actually want to know, well, what happened then? Did you film it? Did you get, like, anything? It's like, I'd love to see a bar full of people on acid that don't know they're on acid. I'd love to see how that turned out. I might be there some days. I bartend, and I don't know what's going on sometimes. So maybe it happens.
That would be a wonder. Just imagine that, though. It's like, yeah, one night, we dosed a bunch of people in a bar and on the beach and on the street. And 6 years later, there was Woodstock.
Yeah. 10 years later, like, there was the Unabomber.
I don't know. People now, like, smile on you, bro.
Some of these experiments are going to take years to pay out. Years.
It's going to work, though. I promise.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, looking at Woodstock, it's like, you know how many of these people we got to turn corporate after that?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
And now they're running. Dude, that's actually an argument could be formed for that. And like, people who have that sort of a youth, like a lot of a very drug-ridden, acid, hallucinogenic, become very successful people generally.
Or another take is just, it's like the opposite, where it's just a psychological effect that everybody feels when they get older, and it's you hate your younger self because you see young people as you get older, and you're like, ah, I was that shitty too, but I'm just going to blame it on them.
Can I...
That could be accurate.
And then it's like, you convert, and you become the 80s.
Yeah, right. I like the shows in the 80s that were like showing like what is it? Family Ties was one of the better ones of like, look at the old kind of hippie generation turning, breeding yuppie kids, you know, like the Michael J. Fox. I love that shit, man. That's really good. It explained, when I was a kid, it explained the cultural paradigm shift that I was witnessing. I had no idea about, because I was like, what's going on?
Well, yeah.
What's a yuppie? What's a this? What's a
Reagan? Republican?
What's a Democrat? What's that? Very well-crafted show. Not as funny now.
They really
made a show like that now, it's not as funny, but and people would be very like, fuck that show. How dare they have a Republican?
Just every episode be like, fuck you! Yeah, no, fuck you! You're a cuck!
You're a Nazi. Get out of here.
No son of mine's a globalist.
Get out of here with your forward fucking thinking, kid.
Yeah. Go suck Soros' dick, kid.
So,
Dad, Soros produced this show.
Oh, I retract that statement. So I want to end with a theory, and I want to throw this theory out. This is different than what we were talking about. Do you have more MK Ultra shit you want to hit on? What do you got? You said you had some interesting esoteric.
Yeah, I got some.
Hit me with some bits. I want to hear.
Do you want to wrap it up? Or are you?
No. I didn't know, to be. I didn't know if we were running out of gas. Seth's got a couple things that he wants to talk about, and that's why
I've not yet begun to defile myself.
Please defile yourself. With
whiskey in hand.
Away.
Well, do you guys want to hear a ghost story or an alien story?
Both.
Ooh, I can only hear a ghost story first, though. I like the ghost stuff more than the aliens.
Oh, shit. I have it.
No, I'll take whatever you're prepped for.
I actually am prepped for both.
Should we wind down, have a smoke break, and then hear a ghost story?
I was about to say, it's kind of long.
Because my theory will only take 5 minutes and we can end the show with that, because I like to leave people with this theory. And I just want people to think about this. And I want to just...
Ooh, can I leave with a theory too?
Yeah, sure. That's the best way to end shows.
When we come back.
Please.
We come back. I'm a French Canadian all of a sudden. All right, put it this way. The ghost story is long. The alien story is short.
Cool. Let's take them both. And we're going to take a smoke
break. Oh, all right. Well, if you want to get nuts, we'll get nuts.
We'll take them both. And then we'll end with theory. Kelsey, throw out a theory. I don't know what theory is. Theorize away.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm having a great time.
I'm having a good time.
This is a lot of laughs.
I'm having a great time here at the Bunset Grill.
Yeah, thank you for being at the Fun Stretch Mills. It's really nice for you guys to be. By the way,
we fired Donnie, by the way.
I forgot about that.
I thought it was Lonnie.
No, he was Monet Monet. He was named after the Billy Idol.
Here He Come Running? That's actually Tommy James and the Shandells. I played that at trivia tonight.
Oh, nice. There you go, folks. Facts. At Sunset's Mills.
A lot of percussion in that song.
Yeah, the pun set grill.
Tonight, right? You didn't have to apologize for anything if you had to apologize for that one. No, we're not doing that. No, we're not covering that. This is actually something we wanted to cover for a long time, but we were like, we have to wait until we're like 20 episodes in because what happens to people that cover this shit? And we're nobodies, but I'm like,
they got green, slimy alien babies.
Yeah.
Coming out of their ears.
Did you hear about the Billy Corgan shapeshifter thing?
Dude.
I've heard some rumblings of Billy Corgan.
Who do you think it is? I know you've heard it. Who do you think the name is?
It's Courtney Love, man.
Wait, what? All right. Well.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Billy Corgan basically says he was around somebody, Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins, in case our listeners aren't aware. But he says he swears up and down that he was with someone who shapeshifted right in front of him. He was completely sober. And that they acknowledged that they shapeshifted in front of him. And he won't reveal who it is or what actually happened. And otherwise, he's a completely sane guy. You can go listen to any Billy Corgan interview, and he's like, I just want to talk about First Amendment rights. I want to talk about this, whatever else. But this one story, you're just like, what?
Was it Rebecca Romaine Stamos?
Yeah, right. She's very mystical. Mystique.
Yeah. Raven Darkholm.
I don't know. But
obviously, you do.
By the way, one thing we're going to have to cover eventually is Courtney Love's father, who I believe was linked to CIA and shit like that. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
have to cover that eventually.
Another one. Another pee pops out the pod.
Another one.
And, you know, their weekend activities would be he'd train her how to get people to kill themselves.
Hey, they can do it, man. The MK altered Kurt Cobain. All right, so let's hear the ghost story, my friend. I'd like to hear
the ghost story. All right. Are you guys familiar with the San Pedro haunting?
Don't think so.
I wasn't either till last night. Cool. And holy shit, because, you know, I'm not a religious person by any means, but this one kind of affected me a little bit. Not that one thing to do with the other, but it's just, you know.
I'm not a religious person. This is great.
I am not saying the supernatural does not exist by any means. It's a weird and crazy universe. Mm-hmm. We see that every day.
Indeed.
I mean, you know, 20 years ago, that book said Steen on it, but.
Yep, it did.
Doesn't mean aliens don't exist. All right, so in November of 1988, 26-year-old Jackie Hernandez was looking to move away. Her and her husband had split up. She was pregnant with one daughter and already had another one that was toddlerish. And she moved to San Pedro, California, just south of Los Angeles, and she settled into a new home that was 90 years old. And she noticed stuff like the television turning on, pencils leaping out of pencil holders.
Well, which they always get
you know, back in the 80s, like, people always had pencil holders laying around. Maybe it was probably like an Elf mug, and it just had some pencils in it.
Yeah.
Her cat would chase shadows.
Cats do that.
She claimed to see a disembodied head floating near her attic, and she just eventually chalked it up to, you know, just the separation anxiety of dealing with their split up from her husband and whatnot. And then, this is great, because the source I'm reading this from, you know, it's got different sections, and this one is foul spirits. Because, and then the first line is, the house took on a nasty stench. Weird sounds emanated from the attic. Late one night, she looked into her baby daughter's bedroom and saw what seemed to be a grayish, decaying old man sitting cross-legged on the bed. He looked right at her, then disappeared. A few days later, she saw the other ghost again, the floating disembodied head. It could only be seen near the attic and looked too decaying. Oh, I'm sorry. And it too looked decaying. And it had penetrating eyes.
That's sad.
Jackie's neighbor, Susan Castaneda, was there that night. Was there the night that an orange viscous liquid started oozing out of a light switch and tiny balls of light flew through the house.
That's not normal.
To which her line was, you need someone to come in here and help you. So she didn't want to, but Jackie insisted on calling a UCLA parapsychologist she had seen on TV. His name was Dr. Peter Venkman, of course. Or wait, no, sorry, I read that wrong. It's Barry Taff.
Same difference.
So on August 1st, 1989, Taff's team arrived at the house with his cameraman, Barry Conrad, and his photographer, Jeff Wheatcraft. Why is that funny?
It's a great name.
That's going to be the name of the next new hot video game. Wheatcraft.
Wheatcraft. I can only Minecraft wheat. I don't need it.
All right, so they were sitting there. He was filming her story. Nothing was happening. So they're like, let's go to the attic where these floating heads are. So he goes in the laundry room, climbed to the washer, pulled up the trap door. And then he said he immediately felt unsettled, as if someone were watching him. And he starts snapping pictures. And then suddenly, without warning, all of us heard a scream, recalled Conrad. Jeff bolted down from the attic. He held out his trembling hand. My camera! It pulled my camera from my hands! Now the team was excited, and Jackie, though, was relieved they finally believed her, was a little put off by their enthusiasm.
That would be weird.
Yeah. They reassured her. They were there to help and said, it's fearful of something. It doesn't want you to be here. That's what she told them. So they go in the attic, and or they come out of the attic, and he wants his camera back because he lost it. And so they come back, and they look with a flashlight, and they know there was no other way in or out the room except for an empty... There was an empty except for an old wooden fruit box in the corner. Conrad started filming, but his camera went dead. He replaced the batteries. Well, still it wouldn't work. Meanwhile, Wheatcraft found his camera lens. It was behind the trap door, standing on its end as if it had been placed there. It didn't have a scratch, but where was the rest of the camera? He finally saw it sitting on the fruit box.
What?
Yeah. Both men were ready to get out of there, but Wheatcraft wanted to flash a few shots. Just as he took a third picture, a foul stench overtook them. "It's behind me," he said. Then he said something pushed him hard in the back, nearly causing him to topple down to the trap door. As the two men scrambled down, they noticed three large growing lights in the attic. Once they reached the safety of the kitchen, Conrad's video camera started working again. They didn't need more convincing. There was definitely something in that house, and it was angry. Hmm. All right, so this goes on, and I could sit here and just read it verbatim, but what it turns out to be was they would go in there again another time and try it, and the one guy ended up being hung by a clothesline hanging from a nail with his legs wrapped around a support, and the other guy luckily got him out of there.
He lived?
And, yeah, he lived. He was just kind of out of sorts for a minute, but he was pissed off. And so the story goes that they eventually decided to try to have a seance, and it told them that the reason he attacked that guy was because he looked like his murderer. And so eventually they start looking into public records, and led her down the street to a cemetery where it landed over a guy's grave who died in 1930, who was a sailor, because she would have nightmares previously that she was on a dock being held underwater. And then she would come to find out that where this light led her was a guy who was killed in 1930, but it was ruled accidental. But what it was he was hit on the head with a pipe, and then...
Underwater.
Fall underwater, and then she would look it up, and his murderer, according to this guy, was the guy who built the house that she lived in.
Fuck me.
Like, so
completely.
So I'm just giving you a little rundown. Look it up. It's called The San Pedro
Movie about this.
The San Pedro Haunting. Yes, I read it and I just couldn't believe like they hadn't made a movie of this. But I left out some details, but there's more to it. I mean, they claim they had a Ouija board thing, but it's like, I think at this point we know Ouija boards are just... Parker Brothers create them?
I'm pushing it around.
Yeah.
This is a spoiler alert. I'm doing it.
But there were multiple instances of them saying that basically the ghost kept telling this guy that he looked like his murderer. And so he kept like fucking with this one photographer.
So it starts out like comically unbelievable. And then in the end it's like, no, this is probably the thing.
Wonder if she stayed there.
Oh, no. Oh, like she said she would keep... Oh, she moved, and then it followed her there. And it was...
Because it attaches to people and not places.
Yes, because it attached to her negative energy, because she was already recently divorced.
So weak.
Having a child, and then raising another toddler, and then it just, like...
Demons do that, man. They always pick the weak ones.
Yeah, well, it's the way to get in.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, and there was never any justice as far as I know, because apparently the other ghost that she kept seeing was just the guy who killed him. So it's like somehow maybe his negative energy of being murdered kept his murderer alive in the afterlife to dwell and suffer in that house in his own little personal purgatory.
Well, I like that as a good karmic comeback.
I mean, it said he had penetrating mean eyes. Yeah. I'd be pretty pissed.
Yeah, that's a very... spiritual warfare type thing.
I mean, think about it.
Was there anything weird in those pictures?
Probably orbs. There's always orbs.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't actually look at the pictures. I just discovered this last night laying in bed and thought I'd share it because I was like, wow, that's really good.
Oh, shit. I'm actually looking at a picture right now and there's a ghost jerking a guy off in the corner.
That's real life.
Well, why didn't you look at these pictures? Look at this one. There's a ghost with clearly ramming a guy in the butthole with a chainsaw. You can see it right there. It's clear as day.
I had to work early.
Just kidding. Nope. Those pictures don't exist. So the San Pedro Haunting.
San Pedro Haunting. Look it up.
That's fucking crazy.
I always want good evidence of a ghost thing.
I mean, the best evidence I can give for this one is just the fact that four people seem so affected by this.
Yeah.
To where, and, like, the story lives on today.
They really don't agree with each other either. It's not like we're all in cahoots on this. Like, what the fuck? Why are you so happy about this? Don't worry about that.
Like, they don't like the same kind of ice creams either. Like, this is not something that's normal.
Interesting. I'm going to look up the San Pedro Hollow thing. Find
out. It just seemed like a big one. I had never heard of it.
So, I love aliens.
Are you guys familiar with Spring-Heeled Jack?
I mean, is that like a technique?
Not the ska band that wrote Jolene, but...
I was going to say, I feel like I've heard that name, but...
You might know it also as Queen Victoria Saucerman. Mm-hmm. Or Saucerman, I guess I should say. I don't know why I pronounced it like a last
Saucerman.
Name. Hi. How you doing?
I'm not an
Alfred
alien.
Saucerman.
Yeah, I'm not an alien. My name is Bill Saucerman.
I'm from France.
Yeah. Where saucers are everywhere.
We all look like this there.
Didn't you guys talk in a previous episode about how where the cone heads came from because of somebody doing that?
And the Coneheads, it was the, what the fuck, the big head, the little heads? What the fuck was the name of the, Melonheads? I talked about the Melonheads briefly on the Game of Lore episode. There's just these people with melon-shaped heads that scare people.
Maybe it was something else. All right, so Queen Victoria Saucerman, a.k.a. Spring-Heeled Jack, he first appeared in 1837, the same year that Victoria ascended to the throne. And then terrorized the English countryside for almost 70 years. All right, the first recorded case is Miss Jane Alsop, a 25-year-old London girl, was the apparition's first recorded victim. She heard a violent ringing of the bell on the gate in the front of her house, which was situated near the London docks. When she opened her front door, a tall stranger was standing on stoop. Exactly what happened next remained unclear, but Jane later testified to police that he had thrust a lighted candle towards her visitor. I guess that was a term back in like the 1800s. Towards her visitor.
Towards her visitor.
Peering intently to see whether his face was familiar. With a roar, the creature had stumbled back, throwing off a long cloak wrapped about it. The sight left her petrified. The man's body was covered by a tight-fitting garment which resembled a slick, stark white oilskin jumpsuit. Jumpsuit. Oilskin is like what fishermen's robes are made of. And, said was completely enclosed by a globular object, which was fastened to the collar of his tunic. His encased arms terminated in sharp metallic claws. Inside the transparent globe, Miss Alsop could see two eyes, which glared at her with a white fury. Before she could slam the door, the creature leaped upon her, blazing a blue-white ray of flames through an opening in the front of the head-covering globe. As he knocked her to the ground, her screams brought her sister running, and the sudden presence of the second woman sent the assailant bounding off in the night. Then... this happened, let's see, once again. That was in 1837. Then in 1845, new reports began to come of a weird figure had been seen leaping with shrieks and groans over hedges and walls. This time, a man was believed to be the phantom, was actually caught, and the scare abated for a moment, but it developed the apparition had simply left London for the countryside. Accounts during the 1860s and 70s followed from Warwick, Lancashire, Lincolnshire, Surrey, Worcestershire, and Middlesex counties still have a fantastic creature which was being encountered on dark but moonlit nights. It's soaring over the high hedges on one side of a country road, landing noiselessly in the roadbed to confront a startled villager.
So this is a UFO experience that was dated back to...
the Queen Victoria... the Victorian era, if you will.
Which would have been... the years on that is...
All right.
So, just as a point of reference, War of the Worlds is published in 1898.
I believe you're correct.
I'm looking at that right now. So War of the Worlds, and this predates that?
It does.
That's kind of amazing, there was, because that would have been your first kind of alien thing.
Another story is at an army post near Aldershot in the summer of 1877. Two sentries on duty at a powder magazine gate were alerted by a harsh and grating noise. Blah, blah, blah. He said he stepped forward and peered down the road, but saw nothing except the other side. Hold on, wait. Hold on.
I think it's interesting.
Okay. He still thought it was nothing, but then as he turned to resume his watch, a cold and icy breath fanned his cheek. Private Reagan screamed and jumped back, dropping his rifle. In the same instant, the other two sentry came on the run. As the two soldiers stood there huddled together, a large and dark shape passed overhead and landed without a sound a short distance away. So basically, this guy...
this is all UFO tropes.
Because... it suggests that he comes from a place that doesn't have, that has more gravity than the planet Earth does. So our gravity, like Superman, does not affect him as much, and he can just leap boundlessly. Right. But, all right, real quick, and then I'll be done.
That's interesting.
Where is the last one?
His superpower is he had to adapt to his own gravity. So here he's just amazing.
All right. So there was reports here and there over the course of 70 years. In September 1904, the creature made its last reported appearance, this one in the older section of Liverpool. For more than 10 minutes, hundreds of spectators watched its antics in broad daylight. The jumping man bounded up and down William Henry Street, then leaped easily from Stitt Street over a row of terrace houses onto Hay Street. Those who rushed around the corner saw it briefly as the creature made its final leap, which carried the white-suited shape back across the slate roofs toward Salisbury Street. With dramatic, almost joyful performance, the stranger seemingly vanished for good.
And to be fair, your source is not DailyMail.uk or fucking whatever. It's the...
As you see, I was reading this out of a
hard book.
Book of anecdotes. This is published in 78, The People's Almanac by David Wallace and Irving Wallachensky. All right. I believe are the author's name. It's a great read. You can get it on Amazon for like $6. It's got all kinds of crazy shit. But it's before anything. This book predates CNN.
Yeah, so
I'm not saying that makes it a legitimate source.
Yeah.
What I'm just saying.
I see your sentiment.
I think the timing is interesting because people
carried this story.
People were not interested in alien type things
before War
back
of the Worlds.
Then, nor did I think that we would know. I guess scientists would have known that there would have been gravitational differences if we actually made it to a planet or whatever. But this way predates like the moon, for instance, where we saw it happen, and we all understand that. So it's very interesting that I kind of could buy that as an alien story better than most alien stories because like Spring-Heeled Jack, as you said, named such because he can just leap over all kinds of things. Maybe he just was in a, like you said, like a heavy, dense gravity place and just has the muscles or the ability to...
He's wiry.
Yeah, just to deal with that. So he's jumping over things because he can just do it all day long. But what did he mean by it?
It just seems like he just wanted to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Because there are other reports that he would like claw at women's clothing and then just like breathe fire at them and run away at the minute.
He can't have all the powers, though. I can't let him breathe fire. I can't make sense of that in a gravitational world.
But no, the breathing fire is like a reaction of whatever he is breathing out of his helmet reacting with oxygen.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah, like... Maybe it could be like me right now, where like if I breathed out this much vodka in my system and we put an open flame next to me, something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
he could be breathing out Rumpelman's fumes.
I used to do that.
Chemicals, man. Time.
Yeah, you'd be able to light your breath.
The dragon. I actually did. I had a little pocket breathalyzer. Yeah, one shot of Rumpel does a lot. That bumps that number up drastically.
I've been thinking about buying one of those.
Yeah, I got one you can have. I don't need it anymore. It works.
Want me to do it right now?
So, why is he... Did he die?
Like, I don't... Yeah, that's the thing.
What happened to him?
What happened to the descendants of these people? These Liverpudlians?
Right. Yeah.
Like, I imagine that they must have told that story.
They would have told that story, passed that story down. And maybe that's why Spring-Heeled Jack is the name of that Scott.
I mean, exactly. I mean, it kept up in some circles.
It's there. He was a time traveler, and the next time we look up this story, there will be more stories. Like that book just keeps growing because he was a time traveler.
Are you Mandalay affecting and time traveling and mixing in aliens right now?
Yeah,
you sure are building quite the cocktail.
You got somewhere I can lay down?
Yeah, I'm very sleepy right now, guys. It's sleepy time.
Yeah.
I'd like to just get comfy and get some sleep.
What if that happens? Because
Sonny,
by that theory, it would
Sonny,
work.
Sonny, we need blankets. We're all very tired now.
Bonnie.
Just pour buffalo sauce on me. It'll warm me up.
So,
not that spot.
Very interesting. Well, I want to go into tying this motherfucker up, and I want to say that I have one weird theory I want to pitch out before we're done, just to leave it, and then you guys tell me if anything makes sense, or nobody tell me. Nobody listens to this shit, so it doesn't fucking matter. But you had a theory that on anything that you want to pitch out before we're done?
Just that the human race as its current state It has been in its current state for about 200,000 years, and it took like 180,000 to 190 to come up with agriculture. You ever think maybe there were like four or five other civilizations behind it before us? They just fucked it up.
Did you hear that the Dark Ages might have not existed?
I've heard that before. Well,
I haven't looked into it.
But well, I know because in the Middle East there was like a cultural and technological and medical revolution. But I know a lot of those records were destroyed by Genghis Khan, I believe, when he sacked Baghdad.
Yes.
But now they're saying that like even in Europe they were still advancing somehow.
Yeah. But I actually just showed like I showed my girlfriend the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and I was like, hey, check this out. This used to exist like a really long time ago. She's like, that's amazing. Where was that? I was like, in the middle of the fucking desert. I was like, there were rivers. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, it was a great little civilization.
But still.
It was real.
It's amazing when you look at the seven ancient wonders of the world and go, like, they really had this shit? And you're like, I mean, I guess we're either supposed to believe it or not. I don't know if the Colossus of Rhodes ever existed.
Oh, I hope it did. That's my favorite one.
Of course. It's all amazing.
It's just so badass.
But did it do? What do we know? Like, I mean.
Well, I'm sure there were earthquakes back then.
Yeah, of course. I mean, people were just
could have Don't question the narrative.
Well, I mean, ISIS goes and tears
You telling me Socrates was a shill?
Yeah, he's a fucking shill. That guy, you hemlock drinking motherfucker.
Oh. Okay. Oh, fuck.
You were going to talk about the Serbian guy?
No, I wasn't going to talk about. I guess all their names are Slobodan.
Yeah.
I forget what his last name was, but he was another Slobodan.
It's not Milosevic, that's all we need to know.
No, it was a reference to a previous episode where you, what were we just talking about?
Seven Wonders of the World, Colossus of Rhodes.
Oh, I was listening on the way here when you were talking about the pyramids and how it had a direct correlation
to the stars.
I believe, or to the sun. I believe what it is it's like 486 meters tall, and it's 486. What's longer, a mile or?
The Earth fits between the sun. And 486.
Yeah, wait, no. So that would make sense because the Earth is 93 million miles. But it's some kind of, it's some 486 is somehow.
Yeah, that's significant.
That's the number.
Yeah. It's like the Earth is 486 times, like the distance between the Earth and the moon is 486 times the distance to the sun, I think. Some weird. I don't know.
So I have I like that. And I have a theory of my own that I'll end with completely off topic.
Elon Musk invented Bitcoin.
All right, I like that. I like Elon Musk invented Bitcoin.
In 1902.
I'm sure he has a lot of Bitcoins. Like, I'm sure that all of those San Francisco tech guys, every Silicon Valley guy, San Francisco tech guy, they are the people buying those fucking Bitcoins up, and they have been forever. What I think, if you want to get a Bitcoin, which I think it should be its own whole another podcast, I would just say this. If you were into selling child pornography and or drugs on the internet back in the day, you'd be really rich right now if you just saved your Bitcoin.
Jesus Christ.
That's when the Silk Road existed. That's what I'm saying.
Sunset Girl does not approve
this message. No, of course not. It's not worth anything now. But what I'm saying is back then, if you had been on the Silk Road and doing this shit, they're the ones who got paid in Bitcoins, which were dick. So they would be like, okay, I'll take your 10,000 Bitcoins. I don't give a fuck. Here's your fucking adrenochrome. And they'd send it off, and then fucking they get these 10,000 Bitcoins. They're like, it's not worth shit. But now you'd be a multimillionaire, which sucks that the drug purveyors and pornography purveyors are going to be the richest people off this shit right now. You have to think about that. It wasn't normal people. It was not.
Isn't the Silk Road? I could be wrong here, but is that? I know, but I'm saying, is that what kind of got Bitcoin like on the up and up?
It was the only currency used on the Silk Road, so they would pass around this currency, and you'd have to, because it's all crypto, so they don't want to see a money trail. So you get Bitcoins, and then you cryptocurrency your way, so there's no money trail back to you for buying these substances or whatever or any other weird shit that you might want. I can't even tell you like the gamut of weird shit I'm sure that was for sale at the time. I had an ex. Person I was hanging out with, I won't even say girlfriend, but she was very like, you don't even understand the Silk Road? Are you fucking out of your mind? And this was like 4 years ago. She was like, yeah, Bitcoin, Silk Road. Like, you're a fucking idiot. You don't even get that? You're on the internet, right? You don't get that? And I was like, I don't know anything about that shit, like, because I don't even.
I bet you don't even chin.
Yeah, you don't even chin, dude. You don't even know who Long Cat is. But, so, anyways, she's just like.
This is a different fucking language for me.
But the point being.
It's crypto language, I guess.
All you know is Long Cat's very long. So the point is that, like.
I like Lolcats.
These people that were into, and she was into some weird shit. She was into, like, saying, like, sometimes I show up for a function and I'm just arm candy. That's all I do. It's just like they're trying to get this thing and I show up and I'm arm candy. And I'm like, what does that even mean? What are you into? But anyway, but she knew about Bitcoin. She knew about Silk Road. And she was telling me, like, if you're not into that shit, you're missing out on whatever. If I had known to just acquire Bitcoins 4 years ago.
I know. You could have sold her for a bunch.
Probably. I think probably people did. I actually really worry about this person or what happened in her life. I worry about what happened to her now. But anyway,
shit, I'm sorry.
So my theory that I want to, with Bitcoins is that, like, you should have been in on Silk Road, otherwise you're fucked now. Because it's rich people buying it up.
Well,
but
I'm sorry I didn't have any illicit materials to sell 10 years ago.
But if you think about it,
Nor did I. Asked this question. I'm ashamed of that fact.
1 year ago, December 8th, 2016, Bitcoin, I asked this a trivia, was worth $755. And as of, I think, today or yesterday, it was $17,000.
It's been plopping all over the place the past week and a half.
It is a bubble. It's the biggest.
It was $755?
$755. $755. And if you had bought...
We broke $750.
Fuck, 10 years ago, $755 might as well have been $17,000 to me.
But if you... But if you go and you look at historical bubbles, that is this is the largest historical bubble ever when it comes to trading or anything like that. So it will break. One thing is going to happen. Either they're going to invent quantum computing, which will decrease the processing amount that's needed because it'll just be like quantum computing will happen instantaneously. There's only going to be 190 million Bitcoins ever released. If you're not already got some, you're going to run out. The only interesting thing is that Bitcoins can be broken up into almost unlimited pieces. So it still could establish itself as a currency,
what's the other one called too? There's like Litecoin.
They're all shit. It's only Bitcoin now. Ethereum. There's all other ones. Yeah, Litecoin.
Get with it.
But like,
Fuck, man, it's just none of them.
None of them can catch.
Don't buy that shit coin.
Spitcoins. But anyway, yeah, that's all.
The next big one's gonna be Litecoin.
My theory I'm gonna end on with involves the hashtag MeToo movement and all the scandals that are going on. And I want to talk about the impetus of this, which is that. We know of a big name guy that got taken down for sexual harassment. His name is Roger Ailes, and he was the head of Fox News. And he got taken down first by Gretchen Carlson. And that came out, and then all of a sudden, there's a lot of snowball effect. A lot of people coming out, that. And we remember who's number two, we know Rupert Murdoch was on top, but who's right below Roger Ailes in the Fox News Corporation?
O'Reilly?
Bill O'Reilly. Also taken down. So you can imagine that. Don't think of news agencies as news agencies, as if they're really happy to tell you all the information all the time, because now we know everyone knows everything. They just didn't, it was an open secret, or they just don't tell us all this shit. So think about it like this. What if Roger Ailes had massive blackmail on people? And so did Bill O'Reilly have massive blackmail on people. Roger Ailes gets kicked out. Bill O'Reilly gets kicked out. What happened to Roger Ailes after he got kicked out?
He died.
He died. He got a head trauma at his house. At his own house, he got a head trauma and died. Very mysterious head trauma.
Well, from what I understand, he was ailing.
Oh, good. But so this happens to him. So imagine that they have a treasure trove of sexual blackmail. Big one. We all know all these different reports. We're not reporting on it because we don't want to take down Weinstein yet. We don't want to do this. Everyone's building their pawns and positions. And who's going to, when the house of cards collapses as it has... What you're going to see is it's left, right, everybody. It's like, boom, we're hitting you. Oh, you want to hit my guy with that? Well, boom, these people over here. And yes, there's many great females stepping forward and stuff like that. And I don't discredit them. But I think that there's a lot of people going to them saying, like, we got your back on this one if you want to come forward with that. And finally, women feel liberated to actually say what's going on. And I don't wonder if it was a male repression that what was going on why all this shit wasn't revealed, or it wasn't a vast... Let's all hold our cards on what we know about you, my enemy. And now everyone's forced to kind of play, you know.
Somebody threw down first, and now it's
right.
All.
Like, now we're playing.
Nobody's checking anymore.
Right. Now all of a sudden everyone's just like, well, I got a wild card. Well, I'm drawing you back. Now draw two, motherfucker.
Or maybe it's some kind of strange Ailes will where he's like, by the way.
Yeah, take
once
this.
A week, I'm letting out a name.
Yeah.
In my little black book
right. Of
people who.
Totally possible. I mean, there's a dead man's code. Which is, we know with Julian Assange, that he apparently has a dead man's code, where if he were to die, if he can't enter a sequence of numbers a la Lost, basically, like the way the show Lost works, you got to enter the sequence of numbers of what happens. But like he'll release a dead man's code. If he can't finish his sequence, if he's actually dead, then boom, there's a treasure trove of information that's supposed to be revealed to everybody.
Oh, so, man, let's kill him.
Yeah, right? Well, maybe they already did. Just saying. Embassy cat. So,
so, some things will never change.
So, I'm just saying, what if Roger Ailes...
George Lucas seen the Ecuadorian embassy.
I mean, wouldn't it be totally believable that Roger Ailes would have a shitload of information on people that we don't know about? Even just information that they can't corroborate as fast as that news media would want to do. And so... after he dies, it's just a big information release. Like, oh, well, like that Al Franken picture. How long did that exist? That's been around.
It's been there.
Like, right, it's been there. We just haven't
people looked at it before.
To it. So the media outlet goes like, well, Fox goes, well, I'm turning over this card. Fuck Franken. And then they go, well, we're turning over this card. Fuck Moore. And it's like, we're turning over this card. Fuck Weinstein. We're turning over this card. Fuck yeah. This.
It just
and
seems
I,
like
I feel like
going
they're
up
fighting each
fucking...
other. And I will say that I just want to get this one thing across really quick.
Yeah,
that
of course.
We know someone who's very involved with the media, and we reference him on the show sometimes.
Marshall.
But anyway, he actually...
I was about to say, I swear to Christ, if you say Chester Bennington...
No. Someone we know very personally was covering the Moore issue down in Alabama. And what he caught was one of Moore's campaign staffers attacking a cameraman from, I think it was NBC or ABC.
No, it was Fox News. I saw a video of that.
Okay, it was Fox News. It was
they're like, we just want to see Mr. Moore come out this side.
This was interesting. They attacked the guy. You're right. It's Fox News. What I'm making this mistake on is that our friend was working for ABC or NBC.
Yeah, okay.
And he filmed the attack in a better shot.
He said that they have his people have no idea how huge that video is.
So he went and said to the people that he works for, which we'll just say is not Fox News. I won't say who it is. But he said, I got better footage of what happened to this guy. And it's really bad what they did to this cameraman. And ABC or NBC just says, well, we're not going to run that. Why don't they run that? Is because it gives sympathy to Fox News.
Fox News,
because
yeah,
they're
course.
Fighting each other all the fucking time. It's just dollars, man. So like,
oh, it's all profit,
right? So like, so even for them to not cover accurately what happened to a cameraman, which you think they'd be interested in because it's within their wheelhouse, like they go like, nah, they're not going to run that because it's better footage, but it makes him the victim more.
You know, I can almost kind of understand that point of view though, because when you look at like to all the other. Excuse me, news outlets besides Fox News. It's like probably since 1996, which I believe that's when Fox News came out, right? It's right, like they probably kind of felt like pushed into a corner. It's like, hey, man, I just thought we were doing the news. It's like, there you're the liberal media. Yeah. And so they just create this thing, and it's like, well, shit, I guess we're the liberal media.
I didn't know we were playing that
game. Yeah, and so it's like.
And you can watch Outfoxed, which a documentary, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Outfoxed is a great documentary explaining like what Fox News that was groundbreaking brought to the table and how they actually got viewers. They're the first people to say, like, breaking news. They were the first people to use scrollers.
They were the first breaking news?
Yeah, the first, like, no, all the time, you just interrupt whatever you're doing. Breaking news. Shakira has this. Like, they were using breaking news, like, for everything. To constantly make you feel compelled that, like, if I miss this station, I'm missing something huge. That's what Fox News brought to the table, which everyone's addicted to.
It was the Simpsons of news.
Yeah.
Dude. It's
fucking constant change-ups, like, all the time.
It's SpongeBob. They're giving us ADD by these programs.
Yeah. And the scroll going, like, even if you don't care about the story, I'll just read the scroll. I'll read the crawler down.
That's my ESPN go-to. I don't give a fuck what's going on. I read the ticker.
Well... I'm not going to get started on what they talk about.
I just
want to
talk about
it's the same thing for 48 hours.
What happened to Roger Ailes? What happened? Did that guy know shit? Is all that shit being coming to light because he died? That's my conspiracy.
It's a good possibility. And just he would be the kind of guy that will nobody else. All right, because here's my deal too. Is well, not mine. Their fucking deal. But just part of being famous and part of being like in politics or in media. Like, I think a little part of it is once you get to a certain point and you have some notoriety, like, you go a little crazy.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're seeing that all these people are fucking pedophiles and sexual deviants.
Right,
it's
right.
Just, you get to a certain point and you get bored. It's like Hugh Hefner fucking guys in the 70s.
Yeah.
It's just like you get to a point and it's like, well, I got nothing else to do, so.
So I'll build tunnels under the Playboy Mansion and other actors' houses. Did you read about that?
No.
Yeah, there's massive tunnels under the Playboy Mansion that go to actors' houses.
Was Nicholson's one of them?
I think
had
so,
to be
yeah.
in there, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, yeah, and they...
Marlon.
Yeah, and that was a terrible Nicholson, and I'm sorry. They would like, like they go like, the, it's literally people going over his documents. Some of them I think are actually like Playboy bunnies still, who are like, yeah, we went over half shit. We found out that like, here's the schematics for building all these tunnels, and they really exist in LA. There's actual tunnels to the Playboy Mansion in LA. It's just, it's true.
Wonder how much one of those houses costs.
Oh my God, it'd be such a cool house to own. Just like,
hey, you want to take a tunnel to the Playboy Mansion?
I know if you wanted to buy the original, you had to wait till he died. But hey, that guy lucked out.
I'm not gonna lie though. If I was a Playboy bunny and I saw The Shining, and then this, and I went over to his house, I don't really know Jack Nicholson, and he goes, "Come down to my basement. Look, here's a tunnel. No, we're going to the Playboy Mansion. The only way to do it would be start at the Playboy Mansion and end up at his house.
Yeah.
You don't want to go the other way.
You're not
here. Grab a torch. Here we go. It's like, no, man. I'm good. I'm not going to go with you right now.
I kind of like to do it without a torch and just walk in the dark.
I know it so well. So, why'd that door shut behind me? Shut up, Playboy Mansion.
Why don't you have a glass of red rum?
We're about to be in the grotto. Just don't worry about it.
Don't look behind.
They got cockatoos.
Don't turn around.
All right. Well, let's sign off. Sunset Girl. Seth, great episode. Thanks for being
here. Hey, I was happy to. I was happy to. Wait, I had some theories we didn't even discuss yet.
Oh, I thought you. Yeah, I thought you had a theory.
Well, all right, come on. Rey is totally Obi-Wan Kenobi's granddaughter. And I think Jaime and Cersei are the true Targaryens and not
Tyrion. That's insane. That's insane. No way. Jaime and Cersei are the true Targaryens.
Because always says,
incest is true.
Every time she defends it,
Huh?
Game
of Thrones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were him.
No,
I didn't mean to say that like...
That's interesting because there is a rampant incest to both parties.
Like, who is it? One of them?
They're all Aryans.
She always says, "We're not Targaryens."
Yeah,
but it's like, wouldn't that be funny?
No.
Well, okay, then wouldn't their kids?
I love that we're actually talking about this. I was just trying to make jokes because we're talking about MK Ultra.
Let me ask you a question. Then couldn't the whatever that shit in the vials that they throw out, the forever fire,
wildfire?
Yeah, wouldn't that have not killed Tommen or not Tommen? But was there anyone in that church group that would have been pureblood Lannister? Did anyone die of fire in the Lannisters?
Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin? That's not true.
No, it's the other Lannister, Keith. Yeah. No, Noah. It's Kevin. K-E-V-A-N.
Okay.
Therefore, it's an old, weird, fantastical, medieval name.
I'm just saying, don't.
Kevin.
Just, you know, who shows up in this new Star Wars movie? I know the answer. Who shows up in this new Star Wars movie that is not that we haven't seen in a while?
The best question is who is Snoke,
Mace,
and is he a character that we've seen before?
Just Samuel L. He's back. He didn't die. He's a Jedi. It's got to be him.
I think didn't I see an interview where he was like, "I hope they bring me back,
motherfucker."
Yeah,
like I think he said.
I was hoping for Darth Maul, but I don't think that's gonna pay out.
Well, I mean, wasn't he killed like 7 times on like the Clone Wars
series? But if you
series?
Think about
other fun fact, Eddie, the British guy from Parks and Rec that Andy worked for,
yeah,
Darth Maul.
That's not Ray Park.
Yep.
No, it's not. It's
dude.
No, it's Peter. IMDb. It's or Peter Serafinowicz.
IMDb.
No, it's not. It's not Ray Park. It's the Tick. It's the
I
new
know
Tick.
Who shows up in the new Star Wars? And I'm going to tell you, it's just more fucking blowing people who love Star Wars.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say. I just feel like the whole first movie was blowing everybody who likes Star Wars. It was a
It was a 2-hour apology for the prequels,
not only
essentially,
apology, but a celebration of like,
yeah,
these guys,
I get it. And
it wasn't advancing its own story really very very subtly, but it's if you condense down the advancement of the story, it was only like 30 minutes.
I know.
So I feel like we're gonna get the same thing this one, and maybe it pays out in the third one. I hope. But
wait, are you saying this all bitterly, like when you walked in, you were like, "I read the spoilers, I know what happens," and now are you like telling me spoilers just by saying,
"No,
like,
I just
it's a boring movie"?
I just know the guy who did this did Looper, and he did what's the other one he did?
What is the other one?
Fucking whatever. Great director, and I think he got railroaded by Disney. Is all I gotta say.
Well, that's kind of what you do.
I know.
No, it's Ryan Johnson.
No. He did Looper. I like Looper. Looper was a good movie, and I had a lot of faith in him doing it.
Wait, now that I think about it, I never saw it either.
Oh, it's a really fun
movie. I know. I've always wanted to watch it. I think I downloaded it.
It's the only bad part is they put a butt chin on...
well, yeah, young...
Yeah, young Bruce Willis.
Yeah, or yeah, it's JGL.
Yeah, it's so, so fucking distracting.
Oh, oh, which reminds me. So forgive me, but I got to do another call back to a previous episode of yours.
Sure, well,
because I can't believe you left this part out when you were talking about the speculation that Stanley Kubrick shot the moon landing.
Right.
Well, the big joke is that Stanley Kubrick's the kind of guy that if he were to fake the moon landing, he'd demand to actually go to the moon.
Yeah, true. And we're going back to the moon, folks, a la Trump. Yeah. Says we're going back to the moon. My girlfriend went, my girlfriend
this
again.
Moon trip's going to be the greatest thing you've ever seen. It's going to be the best moon trip. It's
just we're going to get there in about 4 hours.
My girlfriend goes like,
and the liberal media won't even talk about
like,
it.
My girlfriend's like, why are we going back to the moon? I said, I mean, it's there. Like we could.
Build well, we got to get out of this place, yeah, man.
I was like, we could build a base on it. It's just one more leg into getting into the universe. Like, why not? Like, you can do moonshots and stuff like that. Use the gravitational pull of the moon to get further into space. Build a base.
Build
there,
a bubble around it.
It has less.
Like Spring Hill Jack's
think about
helmet.
This. Think about this. If you build a base on the moon, it's got less gravity. So the propulsion needed to get farther is less. So, like, what you'd need to get off the moon, the gravity's less. So, you don't...
You get to save more fuel as you just go recklessly through space.
Exactly. Using Earth's gravity.
Resistanceless, as they call it.
Sure. So, like, that makes perfect sense to me. So, I was like, why...
I never thought about that.
I just said, like, we got International Space Station that we just keep attaching pieces to, like, a Lego set. Why didn't we just have that shit on the base of the moon? Like why not?
Like, put a tourist place there. The biggest contribution the ISS makes these days is occasionally at night you can be like, hey, the ISS is going over the moon.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Hey, you can see it.
Second brightest thing in the sky.
Hey, look, it's really fast right now.
Neat.
It's like, that's all it does. Yeah. It's like, what are you going to learn?
Also,
like,
Russians and Americans working together, which is it's unfounded.
What are they talking about?
Why are we working with the Nazis? Jesus. People, don't study history. It's foolish. Russians are the Nazis. It's the same guys.
Stalin killed more.
Have a good night.
And for less reasons. Wait, whoa, that came off all wrong.
All right, we got to go. We're out. Sunset Grill out.
I've got this guy. I've got him.
Oh, here we go.
No, I've got him at Darth. It says Darth Maul.
Hey,
1999.
It's going to be banjo music.
Maybe.
Maybe? IMDb is telling you maybe?
No. All right, dude. Check him out right there. Filmography, 1999.
Yeah, Peter. That's who I said. Peter Serafinowicz. Oh, did he do Darth Maul's voice on Clone Wars?
Maybe that.
Oh, no, it's just his voice. But Ray Park is his body.
Okay.
That he says.
Okay, I get it.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the galaxy. At last we will have revenge on the Jedi.
So that's what it is.
And then he has another line, but I forget what it is.
You know what it is? His last line is, good night, podcasters. You've done a great job. To the people out there, thanks for listening. Seth, we're definitely going to have you back on this shit as long as this shit keeps going.
Hey, when is this going on air, by the way?
2 days, one day.
Damn yeah. it. You can't do it tonight?
He can probably do it tonight. It's up to him.
I think
that in the event that you do, I would like to plug Star Wars Trivia tomorrow night at Mellow Mushroom on 21st Avenue.
Star Wars Trivia tonight at Mellow Mushroom.
Well, I mean, it is 1:17, so technically it is tonight because today is Wednesday.
It's released.
By the time this is released, it'll definitely be tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you were just backing me up.
Mellow Mushroom Star Wars Trivia with Seth at Mellow Mushroom. 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
And December.
December 13th? Yeah, it's the 13th.
We can't get ahead, folks. We can't remember dates. Week?
No.
No, this is at Mellow Mushroom Murder Beach. Right?
Oh. You don't even know the town you live in.
This is not.
No, fuck. I'm in Maryland.
I know, that's what I'm saying, which is on Thursdays.
Oh, wait. So
that's what I was saying, Myrtle Beach.
Mellow Mushroom,
21st Avenue. You did specify now that I think about it.
I mean, I don't know if, besides you guys, I don't know if the crowd would be right for.
A lot of people.
No, there's a good nerd clientele on 21st.
Yeah, there's an older crowd on. For right now.
What's your final question? Psych! You thought about it.
I didn't. I haven't written them yet.
Do your team trivia answer of the day.
We gotta get out of here, Morty.
Whoa.
Answer's Yoda.
Hey, you're worried about the CIA coming back at you, and you just said team trivia?
Oh,
yeah. Dude, they will set your ass on fire.
What I'm saying is they do an answer of the day. We can give one out right now.
Who does Yoda? Ream trivia, I believe. Not
answer is Yoda.
Ream Rivia.
Good luck figuring that one out.
Good luck, folks.
Good luck to you. The answer is Padawan.
The death rattle of a clown.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Please go to our Patreon that doesn't exist yet because goddamn Patreon's annoying.
Dude, Patreon, we've got a Patreon page.
Okay, go to our Patreon and give us money.
You call it a Patreon.
Technical issues with Patreon. They wouldn't let us fucking view our profile. And I'm going to go Jeffrey Dahmer on somebody if they don't get this shit fixed.
Also check out Michael Swaim's podcast. He's crack.com is
Small
now
Beans.
Completely dissolved. Go to Small Beans and check him out on Patreon if you have the Patreon app. If you don't have the Patreon app, this is literally where podcasting will go in the future. We have a problem right now where we have to say, if you're on an Android, go to this thing. If you're on an Apple, do this thing. My Patreon is going to cover all of that. So it's where everything's moving to. So if you want to know, we're always going to be in all channels, but there are some people that only exist in that channel, and Michael Swaim is one of them, so check it out. If you want to check out the slobs, you just got to fucking pay attention to fucking social media and go to a goddamn show.
I'm not even sure how you would check out the slobs at this point.
That's the best part about the slobs.
That's the best part about it. You don't know when you're going to get it.
When it comes up,
keep them wondering.
Literally, like a few days before, someone goes, slob show that day. I'm like, all right, fucking, I'll go, man. I got to be there. Like, you can't miss it.
That's kind of my reaction, too.
But,
okay, I guess I'll go.
If you're local, there are 4 Mellow Mushrooms that Seth hosts trivia at, and he will be at all 4 of them. It's a very funny show, aside from just being accurate as far as trivia goes. So check that out.
Are you sure?
He needs a raise, though, motherfucker.
Are there 9 face-off spots on a hockey rink?
9 face-off spots on a hockey rink. Fuck you, it's true.
It's not dead. That's nothing to do with Kaczynski. It's just that's the truth.
Read Industrial Society and Its Future. Really a good piece of work.
The guy has a couple good points.
Yeah, don't judge us.
I don't want to give a murderer points, but sometimes,
nobody should ever murder.
And
But it's like on the level of now, you just go like, will you read Mein Kampf?
He only killed 3 people.
Yeah, I can't read Mein Kampf because I don't want to turn around. It's only 3.
Are you worried Mein Kampf might turn you?
It's not going to turn me, but it's like if you even say I'm reading Mein Kampf to anyone, they go like, Jesus,
who are you?
Fuck, man, what's wrong with you? Get some meds. Get some good pharma in your system.
No, it's just an intriguing subject.
I just want to know history.
I
want to know what caused everyone else to like this guy. Like, don't worry about it.
In which case, maybe everybody should read Mein Kampf. Actually, now that I think about it,
history repeats itself.
History. Not trying to go there, but
Jesus.
So we totally delivered on the good meaty episode that we wanted.
Yeah, I think we just MK Ultra'd our audience. Have a good night,
folks. We totally did.
Hey,
I'm gonna go to Rockin' Hard if they're still open. If not, I'm gonna go pet my cat, I guess.
That's what they call
what?
These days.
I'll go with you. That sounds like a good place to park my car when I decide I can't drive home.
Heyo. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as always, don't look behind you. There's something there.
There's a bunch of them there. I see them.